previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
So Tim McGill just, did something we didn't expect. Tim McGill ended his weather with "Take care."
Everyone wants a tagline, right? Yeah. Like kind of a signature kind of thing. That's why at the end of every one of my shows for all these, you know, 20 plus years on WGN, you know, I say, you know, end the show and then say, "Bite me."
Right. What do you think of this? Because I just wrote this a second ago. You can bet your last money it's all going to be a stone gas, honey. And is always imparting peace, love, and soul.
I like that.
Yeah. Nobody's done that, have they?
No.
Okay.
Nobody
right.
looks like you.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Good morning. It's 5:11, 720 WGN. Happy Tuesday to you as we inch a little bit closer to Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday and a holiday weekend, hopefully, for all of you and for some of us as well. I'm Andrea Darlis. Of course, this is the Steve Cochran Show. Kevin Powell's in for Dave Ennett. Mary in traffic, Vic in news, Ross Cochran producing the program, and Orion Samuelson with us today as well. Huge show. John DeCoss is here. David Kaplan, Kid of the Week today. And Pastor Corey Brooks is going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour to discuss this, probably what's going to be the biggest story of the week, if it's not already. The white Chicago police officer shown on a videotape, a dash cam video, shooting and killing an African-American teenager, is expected to be charged with first-degree murder today. The announcement was made last night. This is City Hall braces for the long-awaited public release of that dash cam footage that is expected to be released tomorrow. Officer Jason Van Dyke is shown on that dash cam, and we're about to see what actually happened in the shooting death of 17-year-old Laquan McDonald. Corey Brooks said yesterday that there are going to be protests throughout the city of Chicago. We are hoping and praying that they are just the quiet, peaceful protests. Everybody has a right to say what they want to say, as long as you don't disrupt the flow of everyday life and everybody else's life. And if you don't have if you don't own a business, and there's somebody else's business, leave it alone. You know, the city is asking for calm. Mayor Emanuel meeting yesterday with several black aldermen, the Black Caucus, and community and religious leaders as well. So we're going to be checking in with Corey Brooks in the 7 o'clock hour today. Our other biggest story, of course, Brussels and Paris and much of Europe remains on high alert. Yesterday, even the United States issued a not so much a warning, but just a heads up on travel. If you are planning to go overseas, Paris, Brussels, anywhere where it might be, where you might be in Europe, you're just urged to be a little bit more cautious. We're all on alert right now. Brussels remains on a very high alert. ABC's Tom Rivers is in London following the story since the Paris attacks. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Yeah, a global warning out there, which mm-hmm. is so broad, it's hardly of any use, but it is out there. And yeah, in Brussels itself, the lockdown continues. Schools, though, are going to try to reopen tomorrow. Part of the subway system as well will try to get geared up again tomorrow. But unless anything changes, we're expecting these kind of measures to be in place for the most part till at least Monday.
And the airstrikes continue. Paris started immediately trying to attack these ISIS targets, Russia joined in the fight. Early reports this morning that a Russian fighter plane had been shot down over Syria. And now the UK is going to join the airstrikes against ISIS.
Exactly. They'll go before Parliament probably next week. So there could be bombing, and it looks like it would pass. Bombing runs probably before or around Christmas. But, of course, very, very limited British airstrikes in Iraq right now. I guess we can expect the same in Syria, so it's going to be more symbolic than any game changer in Syria itself.
So yesterday, Tom, they had several dozen. I think at last count there was 22 or 23 raids. That number increased overnight. Any more mm-hmm. arrests?
We've not gotten an update this morning, but it's interesting development. You probably saw this. Explosive vest was found in a trash container in the southern part of Paris, thought to have been the one that Salah Abouslam was wearing. No detonator on it. So either he had a change of mind or it was defective, whatever. But he's the one that's kind of the focus of this lockdown up in Belgium, because we know that he, along with two associates, had crossed the border early Saturday morning and is somewhere suspected of being somewhere in the country. That's an interesting twist on this story.
It sure is. And what's interesting too, and we touched on this a little bit later on in the program yesterday, is that Salam's still at large, but wanted now not only by Paris and Belgium and, of course, the United Nations and the rest of the free world, but also ISIS, too, because he really didn't follow through on what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen in the past, whatever, these guys do their thing, but for whatever reason, it didn't work out. So who knows? You don't want to be him today. Let's
no,
put it that way.
Absolutely, and that's a good thing, too. So, Tom, thank you. We'll check in with you later in the week.
Take care.
All right. That's ABC's Tom Rivers. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Rivers ABC as Brussels remains on high alert. Mayor, you have family over in Belgium. Do they? Are you communicating with them at all?
Yeah, everybody's okay. I don't have anybody in Brussels. Mm-hmm. They're mostly in the Louvain area.
Okay.
So, everybody's safe and sound. Okay. Most of my relatives are in different areas.
Thank
so.
God. I've I been know. To Brussels. It's beautiful. I've been
it
to
is.
Bruges. It's just a gorgeous country.
It is. It's just so sad that everything's being related to Belgium. Every time I hear it, that, it's a Belgian-born Syrian, I just go, oh.
Yeah, you know what, though?
Cringe.
I mean, it's everywhere.
I know.
It's
they're everywhere.
It's the world we live in right now, but Belgium's beautiful. Go back, but not this week. Not
just
right now.
I want everybody to get back to work and be able to live their lives again.
Yeah, the schools are, as you said, are going to try and reopen this week, too.
Good.
So that's a good thing.
Good.
So, all right, 5:16. Right after Mary's traffic, we have a big tree lighting ceremony taking place right in Millennium Park here, just a few blocks away from the Allstate Showcase studio here. That is going to be this afternoon. We'll tell you about it, though. First, a check of traffic and Mary. It's 5:20 in the morning, 720 WGN. Michigan Avenue is beautiful. All of the white lights on the trees, up on the buildings. Everything looks beautiful. If you're looking to get into the holiday spirit, hey, two more days till Thanksgiving. Why not? The city tree lighting ceremony is tonight, this afternoon actually, in Millennium Park. Aaron Bauer is the tree lighting ceremony programmer and joins us with a little preview of what we can expect to see. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. So it's the 102nd annual Christmas tree lighting ceremony. It's in Millennium Park this year for the very first mm-hmm. time. And mm-hmm. Walked by there yesterday. The ice rink is open. The bean is all the snow's melted off the bean. So it's mm-hmm. a beautiful backdrop for tonight.
It is. We're very excited about our program. It starts at 5:30 p.m. We have a wonderful lineup. We start off with the Latin Music Project Ensemble. They'll be playing some Latin holiday songs. And then we have the cast members from Emerald City Theater's A Charlie Brown Christmas, and they'll perform songs from the stage production. Following them will be the acclaimed soprano Danielle Denis. She is performing at the Lyric Opera's world premiere of Bel Canto, and that opens December 7th. And then following Danielle is our headliner, Renee Fleming, also a soprano, and also performing at the Lyric Theater in The Merry Widow.
Yeah, I'm going to see that tomorrow night. My gosh, what a wonderful, if anything, go for the entertainment. You could see the Charlie Brown Christmas. Renee Fleming, though, that is going to be beautiful
mm-hmm.
with her singing and as the tree is lit.
Yes, and then following the, at 6 o'clock we're going to light the tree, and then immediately following we're going to have a very short fireworks show.
That's going to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to pull that off?
Well, we're going to do it from the roof of the Chicago Cultural Center.
Oh, right, that's fantastic.
Yeah. What?
So the best part, it's all free.
It's all free, yes. And the stage will be located near Randolph in Michigan, which is called Wrigley Square.
Yeah, very nice. Again, it's just such a beautiful time, and the weather's supposed to cooperate with us. It's not going to be sub-freezing. I think we're going to linger around 40 degrees, which isn't too bad. Just bundle up
too bad.
And get out
there.
We've
had worse.
We sure have. Yeah, we've done this in the snow. We've done this in the rain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can go ice skating afterwards, too.
You can go ice skating, right. And then this Friday, we start our Caroling at Cloudgate series. And then we have the ice ribbon at Maggie Daly Park. I mean, there really is so much to do in Millennium Park.
There's so much to do. Is there a website that people can go to, Aaron, if they want to just check out all the events that are going on starting with the ceremony tonight?
Sure. It's cityofchicago.org/jingle.
Very cool. And Facebook as well, Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events, and Twitter and Instagram, too.
Yes, correct.
Hashtag it with Jingle Around the Loop.
can go around the loop.
I love that. Aaron, thank you. We'll see you out there tonight.
All righty. Thank you.
You see bet. You. That's Aaron Bauer, the tree lighting ceremony programmer. Events tonight. The music begins at 5:30. Get out there and see Renee Fleming. That's going to be awesome. And then the tree is being lit at 6 o'clock tonight, Millennium Park, Michigan, and Randolph. Actually, the tree is at about Michigan and Washington, but all the events and the music and the fireworks, too, Michigan and Randolph. So we'll see you out there tonight. 5:24, First Look at Business, sponsored by First Merit Bank. We say good morning to Orion Samuelson.
Well, good morning again, working from our Phoenix, Arizona office, where they had an impressive lighting ceremony last night. Every year at the zoo in Phoenix, they decorate miles of walkways through the zoo. They started in July. Last night, they turned on the lights. I wasn't there, but the TV coverage was pretty spectacular. Let's talk about coverage of your credit card, because not only do we have a travel warning in place for the world, but yesterday a cyber intelligence firm privately warned U.S. retailers about payment card stealing malware that it said evades almost all security malware. Spokesman with the firm said this is by far the most sophisticated point-of-sale malware seen to date. And the company is EyeSight Partners, which uncovered the malware and is due to release a technical report about it today. So credit cards could be in danger again from new sophistication. U.S. politicians not wasting any time to take off on Pfizer for deciding that it would merge with, I've heard it both ways, Allergan or Allergen, but anyway, the two companies that would move the headquarters of Pfizer to Ireland. And again, as the Democratic presidential critics are saying, this will once again cost American taxpayers as the company avoids its, quote, fair share of taxes, as a deal that she said will leave U.S. taxpayers holding the bag. And who is she? Well, Hillary Clinton, leading Democratic candidate for president. Now, this morning, global markets a little bit uneasy again, besides the turmoil in Paris and Brussels. The overnight shooting down of a Russian warplane by Turkey that said the plane violated its airspace near the Syrian border, and that is causing some stocks in Asia and now opening in Europe to move lower, while a slightly weaker dollar has helped the pressure on metals that have been at multi-year lows. Oil prices this morning are moving higher. Again, tensions in the Middle East following the downing of that Russian-made jet fighter. And the U.S. crude oil currently trading up 68 cents at $42.43 a barrel. It was a quiet day on Wall Street yesterday compared to other days, but it's not unusual for Thanksgiving week because a lot of traders take a full week of vacation during this week. To give you an idea of the comparison, yesterday we traded 6,180,000,000 shares. In the 20 sessions prior to yesterday, we averaged a daily trade of 7,200,000,000 shares. And, of course, the market will trade today and tomorrow, be closed on Thanksgiving Day, and will close at noon on Friday. So it's a 3.5-day trading week. Stock index futures pointing to a slightly lower opening this morning. And, Andrea, we'll check the numbers throughout the morning.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Big O. Fantasy football check coming up after the big story. And Steve's your first call as well. It's all next on 720 WGN. Little
Morning.
Morning, Steve.
Good morning. Hi. Good morning. I have the Hawks tickets. I have Hawks tickets. Who needs two?
We do.
Who
we do.
Needs two?
Oh, we can't win.
I have Hawks tickets. Kevin, these are courtesy of Four Seasons.
Heating, air conditioning, and
plumbing and physics.
And just plumbing. What was the last one? You say physics?
In physics, yeah. They're help your kid with their physics homework. It's a very, very busy company. We'll give these away. As you know, oh, by the way, I'm Steve Cochran. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Steve.
And as you know, we've started a hot new contest that's going to be syndicated around the world. It's called I've Got a Puck in My Pants, the game. And we hit a puck in Tom Skilling's pants and then in Eddie Olczyk's pants. And right now, John DeCoste and I are... Well, we have a celebrity with us, and the celebrity has been duct taped appropriately, and we are hiding a puck in his or her pants right now.
You might want to release that person, Steve.
Well, not until after the puck has been hidden. Yes. So later in the show, we'll give clues, and at 7:10, you'll have a chance to win these Hawks tickets if you can guess who's got a puck in their pants.
Do we get a hint?
Would you guys like to? Well, I'll give you a hint. Sure, I'll give you a hint. This person is famous.
Mm. Oh, that's a bad hint. Famous. Is that you?
Yeah, it's famous.
Is it you or John?
It is not John.
Wait, he's with you right now? Or she?
The famous person, yes.
Yeah. But they're duct tape.
Oh, they're duct tape. In the trunk, I hope. Not?
Well, I'll tell you that. because it does sound a little creepy.
Yeah, it does.
It's a dude. Hey, shut up.
Oh, this is bad. Uh-oh. This is not going to end up well.
I hope you don't get pulled over.
Well, look, it's a kidnapping. It happens.
Oh, jeez.
You know?
It's bad.
Stuff happens.
Release that person.
So we have the Hawks tickets. We will release the celebrity. I'm just turning into a kidnapping. We will release the celebrity. Before 10 o'clock.
Once again, Tom Skilling with a puck in my pants.
Yeah, it's not Tom. He already had a puck in his pants.
Thank God.
And I said Eddie Olczyk, didn't I? It wasn't Eddie Olczyk.
Ed O'Bradovich.
It was Ed O'Bradovich. And it's not Eddie Olczyk today. So it's famous. It's a famous individual, and it's not Eddie Olczyk. Those are your first two clues.
Eddie Olczyk would be in my car, Steve.
Eddie Olczyk's in your car?
I wish.
Oh, I should let Eddie out.
I'm a little concerned about one thing that you have said. This is a kidnapping. Does that mean we will be charged as accomplices because we are with you?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but I appreciate you taking a fall for me. Aside from the fact that, Orion, you've had a nice run, it's about time you did some time.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. You're right.
You know, you've got a sterling reputation. You're highly regarded in all communities. I think it's time you take a fall for me.
I'll do it, sir. Anything for a friend.
Uh-oh.
Who hit the button?
I hope he didn't get pulled over.
Oops. Are you there?
I said, how's Scott's dad? Hello?
Oh, there he is.
Hello?
Sorry, yeah. Steve.
Are you guys running out of time?
You cut out on your phone.
Yeah, your phone.
How's Scottsdale this morning?
Scottsdale is 53 degrees, and we will have a full moon in the desert sky on Thanksgiving, but it was absolutely magnificent last night here in the desert.
And if you don't have turkey, do you just grab a Roadrunner and cook that up?
Roadrunner or a lizard, either one.
All right, what else is on the show today, Kev?
We've got Jamal Mayers is going to be on in the 9 o'clock hour, so plenty of Hawks material today. Reverend Corey Brooks is going to be on with you at 7:40, Steve.
Yeah, this is about this video that's going to be released tomorrow of a police shooting of a black teenager, and we got a lot more on this coming up. And Lisa Madigan's been invited on to explain why she insisted this be released and what the law is on it. They've declined so far, Kev, is that right?
They declined yesterday, yes.
Okay. And we'll just get into it in more detail later, because the concern is you could have Ferguson-style riots here. I certainly hope that's not the case, as do all of you, but we'll get into it in a little bit. What else?
6 o'clock hour is packed. We'll have Cap at 6:20. We have a Kid of the Week at 6:40 that did something really cool. And 6:50, we're going to check in with the Traveling Fruitcake. We haven't checked in with them in a while, so Susan Need, who's been taking care of the fruitcake, will be on at 6:50. And, of course, we'll...
I thought Cap was the Traveling Fruitcake.
Well, that's one nickname for him, but we'll have the official Traveling Fruitcake at 6:50 today, Steve.
All right. Well, you know what to do from here. Mary's standing by. She has semi-important traffic information. And we continue with the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I was looking over the Wing Dang Doodle, and going into last night's game, I'm playing deflated balls and playing Kevinston. Going into last night's game, I had a shot, right? Figured, well, I had a really bad week. I've got 10 points, 11 points out of 15, 20 guys. But Kevin's only a few points ahead of me, and then I look, and he's got Brady. He's got Gronkowski. Who else did you have? You had somebody else on that roster.
Yeah, I had a few players going. Gronk, I had Sammy Watkins going on Buffalo, and Tom Brady.
Yeah, and I had like O.J. Simpson, like the 70s O.J. Simpson before he started killing people.
You did.
So the final score, I'm guessing, was fairly ugly as we go over the Wang Dang Doodle.
Not the biggest blowout of the entire season, but I won pretty easily.
Final score?
88-60, deflated balls over Trump's hair.
My whole team sucked. You're terrible. All right, game number two.
Game number two. Here we go. End it to win it. 30-point margin of victory. 108-78 over Andrea's Army.
Go Cats.
Andrea, what happened?
Oh, I sucked.
But your 78 took care of my 60 points pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford did nothing. I'm benching him. He's done. I'm done with him. I lost Matt Forte.
He's dead to you, isn't he, Matthew Stafford?
He's dead to me. Brandon Marshall's about to be dead to me, too.
And?
The end zones, your mom beat Hail Mary's 98-95.
Oh, nip and tuck all the way, Mary.
I was so close. That was like my highest score ever, too.
Oh, you haven't made 100 points yet?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Hey, well, stupid Marshawn Lynch, he just, like, didn't even play.
Ugh. You know what, though? He's great in a press conference. In game four?
Oh, boy.
Game four, the listener, Lori, takes down Mo Points, Mo Problems, 67-55.
Time for a new name.
You got beat by a girl?
I did get beat by a girl.
You play fantasy football like a girl.
Probably.
That's a good name.
Lori must know her stuff. Huh? She's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see. She had 98 points. I had 60.
Yes, she definitely knows her stuff, and yeah. If she's listening, you know, I'll teach her how to change her name. That's the one thing in fantasy football I do know.
You do it well. She could probably host this show. So congratulations to all the week's winners, which takes us to the standings portion of our rundown. And what are the standings now, Kevin, from bottom to top?
From bottom to top, deflated balls at the bottom still with a 3-8 record. That's my team. My team is terrible, but big bounce back win this week. Seventh place, Mo Points, Mo Problems, Ross's team. In sixth place, it's Anzone, Steve's mom, at 5-6. Fifth place, Hail Mary's. Fourth place, Trump's Hair, at Steve's team.
Wait, what am I, 6-5 now?
6-5, yeah.
That's terrible.
Andre is in third place with a 6-5 record. And it to win it with a 7-4 record. He's in second place. And the listeners still on top with an 8-3 record.
And the listeners will share in a bountiful booty of prizes.
Mm-hmm.
Bountiful booty. A lot of prizes.
A whole bunch.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Each week, yes, you can. Just one sec. Each week, the listener, as they win, get more prizes.
Yep.
Are we giving the listeners prizes?
Yeah.
Do I just say this stuff and you guys don't actually give them anything?
No, we give them prizes.
No, we give them plenty of stuff.
Okay. Right.
Bruce took every prize we had.
Yeah, I bet he was good. What they say about Bruce, no, he's no Lisa. Is it Lisa?
Lori.
Yeah, that's her.
So do we want to go over? We'll do next week's matchups.
You can tell me now.
Okay. Let's see here. Week 12 already. Wow. Mo points, mo problems takes on deflated balls. Andrea's Army versus Trump's Hair. Hail Marys and Enna to win it. And the listeners against Anzones.
The listeners playing my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if she made bail yet from breaking the restraining order that Martin Short had against her.
Did she release Martin Short yet? I thought she had taken him with her.
How do you know Martin Short doesn't have a puck in his pants?
Oh.
All comes full circle, doesn't it?
Nice.
That's what I'm saying. Done. We mentioned Kid of the Week earlier. Kid of the Year is coming up. Mary, you and Dave are in high-level meetings. Where is Dave this week?
Dave's in Kansas City right now for Northwestern basketball. The CBE Classic is being held there.
Go Cats.
How'd they do against North Carolina?
They lost 80-69.
That's not terrible.
No, yeah, North Carolina's one of the best. I mean,
they were number one.
Yeah, and they fell to Northern Iowa last Saturday, which was a huge upset, but still a really good team. They were out with one of their top players over the weekend, so that was a nice game for North hanging in there, but they'll take Missouri on tonight at 6:15.
And Dave and Mary are going to pick the Kid of the Year. What's the criteria for picking this kid?
Yeah, how are we going to do that?
You just go, all the other kids are losers, and you just pick one that you like?
It's not possible. They're all winners.
They're all winners.
So what are we going to do?
Where do you hear the kid today?
Oh, boy.
Going to make it even tougher for you.
Yeah, we got to come up with something. That's just not going to work. It's just going to have to be picked out of a hat.
Okay.
Because they're all good.
Listen, I'm not going to get in the way. Andre and I decided a long time ago you two were taking a fall on this.
When do we have to do this by?
Next 2 weeks.
I'm off.
Well, we'll do it when you're here. We don't want you to miss out on a good time. Later on, we got to get a hold of Dave Edit because his high school buddy, Bill Nye, the science guy, will be on. You know, they went to high school together.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Nye will be on to, what's he upset about? He's upset about something. Is it a climate change thing or something?
Yeah. Yeah. But he's got a new book.
Yeah, whatever. Nerd. No, it'll be good. And John DeCoste is here. John, before we hit the news, let's make sure everybody knows what we're doing on New Year's Eve, where you and I, once again, will go as far away as we possibly can to Crystal Lake.
Yeah, this is a new Crystal Lake. This is the one in Oregon.
You know, a couple of years ago, it felt like that.
No. Yes. No, we are actually
we
New Year's
Crystal
Eve.
Lake.
Oh, we love
How
it.
Many years have we done it there?
This is our fourth year
Four
there.
4 years in Crystal Lake. And what a beautiful town.
Oh, it's downtown is gorgeous.
I should go there when it's daylight.
They don't have daylight. That's one of the few towns that actually does not have daylight.
So far north, this time of year, yeah. It's always dark.
6 months, it's dark.
So you and I and Rocky.
Rocky Laporte, our own Kevin Powell, mm-hmm. Tim Banker. Mm-hmm. We're just going to have a blast New Year's Eve, fourth year. Tremendous. Tickets are going so fast. Yes. An early show at 3 for those who can't stay out till dark, which in there in Crystal Lake is all the time.
Well, here's the thing. Both shows are for people that can't stay awake until midnight. 7
right.
o'clock show, you'll be out the door by 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, even before that, actually.
9:45.
9:40, even before that.
If it works, we'll cut the show at 9. So how do we get tickets?
You can go directly to their website at therousecenter.org or call the box office at 815-356-9212. Bring in the new year with Steve Cochran.
Gonna be fun. New Year's Eve for people who can't stay awake until midnight, live from the beautiful Rouse Center in Crystal Lake. All right, coming back with the news next on 720. Right now with the news? On 720 WGN, which is also known as Chicago's very own. 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
Pastor Corey Brooks coming up at 740 this morning. The collection of reverends and ministers and pastors and folks from the neighborhoods have gotten together to, for the most part, try to quell the violence before it happens. And you have to hope for the best, and you have to hope that calm will prevail when the video of the shooting of Laquan McDonald is released tomorrow. The backstory on this is fairly complex, but at any rate, the officer in the case, Jason Van Dyke, is shown on a dash cam video. He jumps out of his squad car and shoots the 17-year-old. And you're going to hear this over and over again. Shoots him 16 times. Now, here's the thing. It's horrible that this kid's dead. And whether or not he had a knife, I don't know. there's a very good chance that Officer Van Dyke's going to be indicted today for murder.
Yep, on murder charges. Yep, that's going to be today.
The mayor stepped in and said the shooting was it horrific or whatever the words he used. He's obviously condemning the whole thing. So this is an officer who overreacted in the worst possible way and killed this kid. But forget about the 17. I know he's 17 years old. We got to forget about the 16 shots. We in the media, and the reason you and I have a better understanding of this is going through the FBI class.
Yep, we took a very, it was a six-week class that we took.
Yeah, and you go through the same training that these officers go through. And when you feel your life is on the line, mm-hmm. as these officers have every day, and I'm not defending Van Dyke in any way, shape, or form. This is a general comment. The amount of times you shoot is irrelevant because you shoot to stop the attack, whatever the attack may be.
Right.
Such as the case in Ferguson, where everybody was talking about he shot the guy 10 times and he was unarmed. Well, of course, we find out he was being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that previously he had done a strong-arm robbery a few minutes ago, and he's whacked out whatever he's whacked out on. So this could very well be a murder. This could absolutely be a murder. But this needs to go through the court system like everything else.
Absolutely, absolutely. And his partner was ready to testify as well, or is ready to testify, that Laquan McDonald was holding a knife, was high on some sort of substance, which they believe to be PCP, which altered his frame of mind as well. When he was lunging at the police officers. So
yeah,
again,
this is not a TV show.
No,
this is not a shoot him in the leg and that'll stop him.
Right.
This is not, well, we shoot one time and then we back up and we hope they don't have something else. The training is shoot to kill, shoot mm-hmm. to stop them, shoot to end it. And that's why the police are trained to try to tell these people to stand down. That's why tasers are used, some sort of intermediate device before it gets to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to condemn Laquan McDonald, even if he did have a knife, because in this case, the officer, he killed him.
Right.
And he's going to have to deal with the justice system beyond this.
Yeah.
But the call for the mayor to fire the superintendent, what does that accomplish?
It really doesn't accomplish anything. And as you said, too, this has not even gone through the court system yet. Let this play out. Let this go through the court system. The indictment's coming today. First degree murder charges, that's a big deal. This is not, they could have done manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, anything.
No, this is the officer got out of the car and made a choice to kill him.
And that's a big charge to me. I mean, because this had weight to be a second degree murder charge, I think. But they went with the first. They went with the highest possible charge they can give him. And that's going to come down today. So let this play out through the court system.
So Pastor Brooks will be on. We'll talk to Pastor Brooks about what he's saying to kids and what he's saying to people who could be ready to go nuts over this.
You know,
I have more faith. Maybe I'm naive, but I have more faith in this city and in the people of this city that we're not going to see another Ferguson.
I completely agree with you. I think we have great community leaders. The Black Caucus met yesterday. Black aldermen met with Mayor Emanuel and said that they're going to ask for calm as well. Last night there was a huge teachers union rally, and I was walking through Grant Park, so I saw it was calm. You know, they have a point, too. They have a point that they're trying to convey. It was peaceful. It was calm. They waved flags. They got their
you
point across.
You have a
across.
Right to protest. You have a right to march all over the city. You just have a right to do whatever. You don't have a right to tear people's neighborhoods down.
Or
and
disrupt.
You don't have a right to be violent. You don't have a right to start fires. You don't have a right to flip cars.
Or disrupt traffic and you know, affect everybody else's life. Yes, but you know, get your message out. Do it calmly and peacefully. That's all anybody is saying right now.
So I saw a little bit of the pastor on the news last night, and he seems to be saying the right thing. So, again, we'll pick that up with him later and see what else can be done in the meantime. But, you know, we have no interest in inciting anything here. It's a news story that needs to be reported. In the meantime, there's legitimate concern on what this video can do. And I certainly wish that the Secretary of State would have come on and explained the legal side of this.
The Attorney General.
Or the Attorney General, I should say, and why she why she pushed as strongly as she did for this video to be released. Because this is a Freedom of Information thing, right? Some reporter asked for it.
This was Freedom of Information, yeah, because this case was technically, this was also already a civil suit. This officer was on desk duty. It was going before the Independent Police Review Board to decide if there were going to be charges filed.
And there was already a settlement. The family got $5 million, and the family said, "Please don't show the video."
Right.
Because this, how about the humanity of that? The family got the $5 million, but they also said, "Please don't show the video." They are asking for this video not to be shown. A, out of recognition of the trouble it could cause, but B, well, think about what that does to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what else, too? I mean, we are talking about this. Everybody is talking about this because this is a news story. This is going to be released whether we're talking about it or not. So, yeah. I mean, to start blaming the media and saying, oh, well, we're talking about it, it's going to incite violence. No, because it was going to be released anyway. The judge judge made the decision.
Who is this reporter that wanted? Has anybody ever heard of him?
I don't know who it is.
And what was the basis of asking? Is he trying to get famous?
That's a good question. Let me find out who it is and dig into that a little bit.
Because there's nobody in the legitimate media who is asking for this video?
Well, I don't know who this person, I don't know who's asking for it.
Okay.
But the judge, you know, again, the legal system ultimately decided this is what's going to happen. So that is the law. That was the decision.
But the flip of that, though, is this is why people have such skepticism about the media when this guy goes ahead and pushes for this and starts the fire. That obviously we hope doesn't flame out of control here. Caps coming up on sports here in a few minutes. We have hockey tickets for your Chicago Blackhawks. Who else? Actually, before we go to Cap here, the detail on the guy that asked for the Laquan McDonald.
It's Brandon Smith, independent journalist. CPD rejected several Freedom of Information Act requests for the video filed by a bunch of news outlets, including the Tribune. And Brandon Smith filed a lawsuit over the summer, and he accused the department of violating the state's open records law. So when the judge was ruling on whether this should be released, he was actually ruling on this particular lawsuit. Rejected one key city argument, but said that, it's going to be released based on this particular lawsuit. So.
And I'm looking over quickly here a Chicago Reader story that he wrote about why he filed this lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of his take on the facts of the case, but it appears to be a general belief that the police are going to lie and the police are going to hide this cop. Well, he's being indicted today for murder.
Right. And then he kind of goes on a Twitter rant as well against the Tribune, saying they neglected to pursue the Laquan McDonald FOI. Now they're going to reap the benefits. This is all on Twitter.
Well, welcome to big boy media, young man.
Yep.
You know, you don't get to have an exclusive story that nobody else talks about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 6:22, and let's get to the Cap Man. That's his name. He's called the Cap Man, and in the true tradition of this show. Yep, we missed his birthday last week.
Ridiculous.
What's going on there, Buttercup? What's going on there, Cowboy? Sparky? Cowboy? Sparky? Cowboy? Dog? What's going on there, Sparkles? Romeo? Dog? Buttercup? Romeo? Buttercup?
Now, your Chevy dealer and ChevyDriveChicago.com present Cap's Corner with David Kaplan.
Well, first off, welcome to the show because I feel like you're really a renewed part of the family since we missed your birthday. We miss everybody's birthday.
Well, I had no problem that you didn't say happy birthday because I know it bothers you that I'm younger than you.
How many times did you fail math? I wasn't even going to bring up the fact that you're 55 and nearly dead. I mean, the fact that, I think you look good for a guy that has to breathe into a mirror to see if he's still alive. I think you look fantastic.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't going to even talk about it. I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
I appreciate that. That's very, very
What did you do for your birthday?
What did I do for my birthday? Mindy and the kids and I had dinner here at the house.
Well, very nice. Very nice.
It was very, very, very nice just to all be together. And I had breakfast with my mom and my brother, and that was that. Enjoyed it.
It's always good to have next of kin near you because you could go at any minute at your age. Chevy Dealers Caps Corner is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Northwestern, 80-69, as close as it sounds against North Carolina?
Look, this is a really good Northwestern team. They're finally, able to stack a couple recruiting classes together. The problem is you got a North Carolina team that's amazingly talented, was upset on Saturday at Northern Iowa, a game I watched, and you knew it was going to be an angry North Carolina team. So, I'm telling you what, I really believe if they stay healthy, and they are already missing Vic Law, who's the highest-rated recruit in the history of the program, I'm telling you, if this team stays healthy, they're going to the NCAAs.
Yeah, that's what Mr. Cat, Dave Ennett, says. He said that he's pretty confident they're going to make the tournament this year.
I think they are going to make the tournament. They came close when Rich Faulk was the coach. nearly got there. When Kevin O'Neill was the coach, I think Dave and I were doing the game, and if they upset Indiana at Northwestern, they would have gone, and Luke Recker hit a shot to get it to, I think, double overtime, and Indiana outlasted Northwestern. They ended up in the NIT. So they've come close. They've had their opportunities. I think they get it done this year. Go Cats.
Derrick Rose back with the Bulls?
Derrick Rose is back with the Bulls, and he's expected to play tonight. So he's been on this sprained ankle, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how he plays tonight. I would like to have seen him against Golden State, but with the ankle problem, I guess to guard Steph Curry or Klay Thompson would have been a yeoman chore. So we'll see him tonight. I'm looking forward to watching him play. And the funny thing is, the stadium that they're playing in tonight is called the Rose Garden.
You know, there are bad names in sports that are, you know, just kind of funny. And then there are bad names where you wish they were on somebody else's team. David Fales may be a really good quarterback, but it's a terrible name for a quarterback. I mean, Isaac Interception. Is that a guy you want as a quarterback? You know what I mean?
No.
It's just not good. Not good.
Right. You don't want a wide receiver named Billy Drops.
Exactly.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Or a kicker named Charlie Choke. You don't need it.
Correct.
So Jimmy Clausen is sent bye-bye and Fales is the new number two?
Yeah, because Joe Flacco blew out his ACL on Sunday for the Ravens. Mark Trestman, the gift that keeps on giving, is the offensive coordinator now in Baltimore. They need to find a quarterback. Well, in the middle of November, there's not a lot of guys out on the scrap heap, so they looked at the practice squad. He loved David Fales. That's why they drafted him. So they were going to pluck him off the Bears practice squad. So the Bears said, not so quick. And they promoted him. Jimmy Clausen, good guy, but, I mean, he is what he is. He has no chance of ever being an NFL starter. So the Bears said goodbye to him and promoted Fales, and he'll be the backup.
Well, let's hope Clausen stays, or I should say Cutler stays healthy. And let's hope Clausen stays healthy, but let's hope Cutler stays healthy because he now has three children. Kristen Cavallari gave birth to their third child the other day, a little baby girl. They're just like one or two away from being an Osmond family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Sailor James.
Having kids. What's the child's name?
Sailor James.
Never spell the names of their kids like the normal way. Jackson, J-A-X-O-N, Sailor, S-A-Y. I mean, yeah, they like to go with the funky spelling.
And did you see how they came up with the name?
No.
Yeah,
it's a dog that she found or saw or came across a couple years ago. Thought, that's a cool name. I'm going to name my kid after that dog.
What?
Cavallari told a baby registry magazine that she planned to name their daughter after the name of a dog with whom she met while pregnant with their first child. So, Ross, if you're looking for any ideas for your first child, have you met any cool dog? We had a dog in here yesterday.
Bernadette. Yeah, go with Bernadette.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Thank God she didn't meet Rover. How do you name your kid after a dog?
Yeah. Right. There you go.
Or, or Studley.
After a dog. And then, of course, will not be vaccinating the kid. Aren't they the big anti-vaccination?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were. They have two sons, Jackson, as you said, J-A-X-O-N, and Camden. Were they in Camden, New Jersey when they made the baby? I mean, where did that name come from?
It was a cat that was named Camden.
Oh, I see. All right. Bad refereeing all year in the National Football League. Last night, an inadvertent whistle helps the Pats win 20-13 and stay undefeated at 10-0. Is the NFL doing anything about the bad officiating?
I don't know what they're going to do because these are the most highly trained. You know, they say that they have the best officials in the world. I think their rule book needs to be simplified. The end of the game last night, the last play of the game. Now, I'm not saying Buffalo was going to score, but they threw a pass to Sammy Watkins. He catches it. He slides out of bounds, is never touched, and they rule him in bounds. And I don't understand. He was never touched down on the field of play. There should have been 1 second left. They should have had a chance at a Hail Mary. Even Mike Tirico goes, well, that's actually not a correct call there, but we've had some bad officiating tonight. I mean, he called them out, and this is one of the league's partners. And if you watch the Northwestern game on Saturday, because there's also officials that are supposed to be the best at their craft, I'm glad the Cats won. I wanted Northwestern. Please explain to me how a guy in the end zone – catches a pass, takes three steps, gets knocked down, the ball comes loose, and they go, no, he didn't finish the process of the catch. If you have two hands on a football,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
Both feet down, and you're in the end zone, that's a touchdown.
No, I think Northwestern deserves all the breaks they can get, and I'm with you, but it was a ridiculous call. The new rule, just so we're clear on this, is the receiver needs to catch the ball, establish himself as a runner, and then mail a letter. They have to actually find an envelope, put a piece of paper in it, lick it shut, and get it to a post office. That's how you finally are interpreted to have made a catch.
Very good. And if they happen to stumble across a seagull as it flies by, they can take the name from the seagull, use it on their next kid.
Hey, we'll call our daughter Squawk. Caps on the radio when?
Today at noon with Mike Ditka.
All right.
On ESPN 1000. Look forward to it.
And then on TV?
5:30 on Comcast Sportsnet.
All right. Thanks, man.
Have a wonderful day, buddy.
See you, Double Nickels. That's David Kaplan, Double Nickels. He's 55.
All right.
Oh, I'll be there soon enough. I'll be 55 in March.
It's funny how
not
he
that
thinks,
far behind.
It's funny how he thinks he's always thinks he's younger than you or everybody.
Yeah, well, he's in sports. The only math he does is what's the score. Tony called to get on the stump cap train, and we ran out of time. But Tony, don't hang up. We're going to give you prizes just for calling in. So stand by for that, and we're back with the big story next on 720 WGN. Here's a question. This explosive vest that was found in a garbage can in Brussels?
Yes.
The Paris attacks were 10 days ago. Supposedly the individual that's been on the run has been gone for 10 days.
Yes.
The attacks were, the vest was found in the area where his cell phone was last pinged.
Yes. Jawad Benaduad, that's the one that you're...
How often do they take the garbage out?
That's a great point. That's a great question.
Who has the garbage sitting in a can 10 days later?
No. Or, I mean, yeah, there's so many theories. Or he could have just placed it there, you know what I mean, on his way out of town, which could have been yesterday.
But if you
they don't
have,
know.
But if you, but
I see your point. Yeah.
Yeah, if you have an explosive vest that you want to get rid of, what do you keep? You walk out of the house, I have got to get rid of that vest. What am I forgetting? I have got to get rid of that vest.
Well, luckily they found it, so now they.
I've never been to Brussels. I mean, I assume they take the garbage out and pick it up more often than once every 10 days.
Yeah, it's a beautiful city, very clean.
Something's funky about that story.
Yeah, it's very strange.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
By the way, before we get to Kid of the Week, congratulations to our first caller. Well, it wasn't our first caller. Congratulations to our cap contestant, who didn't get to play the cap game but wins anyway. A holiday desktop tree, a hockey tree. Is this the hockey tree or is this the holiday tree? It's a hockey tree?
Red and white holiday desktop tree.
Oh, that's a holiday tree. Okay. But all sorts of cool, unique ornaments and decorations and stuff at tree time. And this tree will be very cool in your apartment, your house, whatever. Tree time, Pepper Road. Lake Barrington, treetime.com. Also a $50 gift certificate to Eli's Cheesecake. You know how good that can be. 40 flavors. Eli's Cheesecake, EliCheesecake.com. Oh, and a Lightkeeper Pro. Lightkeeperpro.com. Got to have that for the holidays. Time now for Kid of the Week. Kid of the Week is sponsored by our friends at Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. And Kid of the Year is coming up very, very soon. Let me get to Paige Schiller here. And the Kid of the Year is going to win a $5,000 scholarship. Which is great, from Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. Good morning, Paige. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm really nervous, and I'm really excited at the same time, but I'm really tired.
Yeah, you know what? I know the feeling of all of those. First off, don't be nervous. I'm your friend. You're just talking to me. It's just, you know, we're just hanging out talking. That's all.
Okay.
Who told you to be nervous?
Really nobody. I don't know. My heart is just pumping. But
oh, no, Paige.
I don't know.
Paige, we're all friends here. We're all friends.
Okay.
Now, Paige, where do you go to school?
I go to Stanton Middle School. That's in Fox Lake, Illinois.
All right. Tell me about yourself. What do you like to do when you're not at school?
When I'm not at school, I either like to draw. I like to listen to music. I also really love piano. I've been doing that for about 4 years now.
Oh, man, I wish I had learned how to play piano. I know, you know, you go, Steve, you're not dead. Take piano lessons. And I tried about, 15 years ago, and then I didn't stick with it. But it's fun, right? I mean, piano's so beautiful.
I really like it.
And do you have the same teacher you've always had?
No, actually. My old teacher, she recently moved to Williams Bay. So we, like, it's we usually do piano on Wednesday, so we wouldn't want to be driving like an hour in Wisconsin.
Sure.
So,
sure. Totally understand that.
Oh, yeah. And my new piano teacher is actually the elementary teacher's music teacher. Her name is Miss Connelly Jort, but we all just call her Miss CJ.
Cool.
So she's my piano teacher now, and I've been taking her for piano lessons from her for about 2 months.
Now, is it just fun for you? Do you think you might try to do this as a job someday, like play piano, be a big rock star?
Honestly, I don't know. I just sometimes I'll try out for the talent show for the school because
I did
it last year. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. Good for you. All right, and let me go through the standard list of very important questions here, Paige. What's your favorite food?
All right. My favorite, cheese.
Cheese. You like cheese?
I am obsessed with cheese.
You like a Gouda? You like a Gouda or a Swiss?
I don't really have a favorite cheese. Just any type of cheese is fine.
Well, that makes Orion happy. Orion Samuelson, mm-hmm. he's been on the farms forever. And if you're eating cheese, he's happy. Mm-hmm. And what do you mm-hmm. want to be when you grow up?
That's hard. Maybe.
Well, we're going to need an answer, Paige.
Right. Huh?
Well, we need an answer.
Oh, okay. I like to write, so maybe an author.
Ah, cool. Well, you're a very interesting young lady. And how old are you?
I'm 11 years old.
11 years old. Wow, you sound very mature. Very mature. Do you have grown-ups tell you that all the time? You sound mature for 11?
Sometimes. It depends on the person.
Well, that's true about a lot of things in life, isn't it? How about brothers and sisters? You have any of those?
I have one older brother and one older sister. The older brother's name is Scott, and the older sister is named Kelly. And then I have a crazy little brother named Cooper, who is dancing right now. And, yeah.
Cooper's a knucklehead. Oh, boys.
Yeah, he is a knucklehead.
Yeah, but the best kind. And who are you close to? You close to all your sibs?
My older brother lives in Palatine, and he's in Newport Beach right now for vacation.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but my sister's pretty close.
All right, good. But you're close to, like, you look up to her and she gives you advice and probably gets in your business?
Sometimes. Like, we'll see her often.
Well, good, good. By the way, Paige and I are just going to do this till 10 o'clock. We're just going to talk till 10 because I like Paige.
Good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Paige, anyway, your principal at Stanton School in Fox Lake got a hold of us and told us about something you did. So let me give you a little backstory here for everybody else who doesn't know the story, which is everybody other than you and me. Back in the spring, you won a brand new laptop computer from an incentive program. Was this through the school, some contest at school or something?
They do this raffle every quarter. So it was the third quarter one. And there's these thing called Paw Prize. They're almost like tickets. So, you write your name on them, and then you try to hand as much Paw Prize as you can, and you put them in this little box. So it's basically just like a raffle, except the Paw Prize are the tickets.
Well, there you go. And you found out you want a new laptop. And let me tell you something. I don't care if you're 11, you're 21, you're 31, you're whatever age you are. A new laptop, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. So I'm sure you're excited about winning it, right?
Yeah, I was really surprised because I only handed in a few, and it was last minute, so.
Well, good for you. But then you thought about somebody in your class, a little boy who had lost his dad recently. Is that a friend of yours or just somebody you knew about?
It was somebody I knew. My parents went to the wake.
Very sad.
And my mom was pretty close to the mom.
Sure. So what did you do?
Since my mom knew where they lived, we went to their house, and we went in, and they were pretty sad, but the boy was actually sleeping. So we visited for a little bit, and we talked, and then I just had the little present in a bag.
And what was the present? What was the present you gave him?
It was a tablet.
She wins this tablet, this brand new computer. She gave it to the little boy who lost his dad.
So awesome.
Yeah.
So just wonderful.
Let me tell you something, Paige. For the rest of your child life, until you're 18 or 21 or whatever, you'll hear people go, wow, that's a good kid. You're the definition of a good kid. You're a really good kid. You ought to be proud of yourself because that's a simple, selfless act in a world that can be pretty selfish sometimes. So I'm proud of you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you're a good kid. You hold on, okay? We got a bunch of prizes for you. I like Paige. Paige could be on any time. Paige, you did great. No reason to be nervous. You could host this show.
All right.
He's so cute. I can't believe... Well, no, I mean, I can now, 11. Obviously. 11
There's
years
no
old.
No way she's 11.
I said,
11.
Didn't oh I, Kevin? Gosh. I said, Kevin, how old is she?
11. You mean no way, 11. Mary? You think they're conning us into this?
I know, but she just sounds like she's...
She should sound like 21.
She sounds more knowledgeable than the millennials.
Certainly more knowledgeable than the host of this show. It's a good kid. You know what I mean? That's a good kid.
It's a cool thing.
You go, what's a good kid? That's a good kid.
I don't want to make this decision.
You're 11 years old. You're 11. You get a new tablet.
Yeah.
You give it away, right?
You get a new tablet, and you go, you can at 11, you can understand this little boy lost his dad.
Yeah.
And of course, it's very sad, but who takes the next step and goes, I'm going to take this really cool thing that I wanted at 11 and give it away?
She did.
You know why? Because she's a good kid.
She could be up for Kid of the Year, too.
Yeah.
And she is.
How glad are you that we're not making this decision?
Thank God we don't have to do
it. Andrea, you're going to help me because I know Dave's going to ditch me.
Andrea can't hear you. Orient's playing guitar on this.
I played tuba.
Hey, you played a tuba as well. I mean, don't be modest. When Orient was growing up in, was it Westby?
Well, Ontario, Wisconsin, on the farm 5 miles out of town. Yeah.
But it was Westby, wasn't it?
That's where my family moved when they sold
moved.
The farm. Yeah, right.
But they used to call him Fingers. Fingers Samuelson. That was about the guitar, wasn't it?
No, I think that was about shoplifting, but they cleared me eventually.
Who knew? I would have never picked Orion as a shoplifter.
Every Christmas season, every holiday season, we give away a fruitcake. Why do we give away a fruitcake? Because we don't want it. And we give it away to people, and the people then take the fruitcake throughout the year. They put it on social media. They take it on family vacations. They take care of the fruitcake, and then, much like the British Open trophy or the Masters green jacket, at the end of their run, they give it back.
Yeah, so you're comparing the fruitcake to the claret jug.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. The Steve Cochran fruitcake will again be passed on. And by the way, this is what makes America great, the peaceful transition of the fruitcake. You know, there's no fighting, clawing, scratching, pulling of hair. The fruitcake gets handed off from one listener to another. And we will soon announce how you can enter with your chance to win the fruitcake. Is she on the line? Is she ready? We don't have her yet? Hold on a second. Wait a second. We're getting stood up by the lady with the fruitcake?
Maybe she
ate it. It appears that way.
Yeah. Hold on. I mean, come on.
Wait, she was the one. I mean, she really took this fruitcake under her wing, right? She's the one who posted all the pictures. Or is this a new?
This is the new fruitcake.
Oh, this is the new fruitcake.
But she really rallied for the fruitcake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some people really like the taste of fruitcake.
Maybe she lost it.
The idea that we don't have the fruitcake lady is very amusing to me.
She blew you off.
I mean, we've had a few guests that in the past have blown us off, and they're immediately banned from the show.
Oh, we can't ban the fruitcake lady.
No. We hope she's okay. Let's go to Ross now for an update.
I hope she didn't eat it.
Russ, do you think she ate it and she's embarrassed to come on?
It's entirely possible that she ate it.
I can't believe we got
the
stood, up. We got stood up by the fruitcake lady.
Well, she ate that thing. I don't know if she'll be with us.
The interview was confirmed last night. She's good to go.
No, you know, she probably just overslept.
Yeah, it's you know what? Her voicemail says Susan and John. Maybe it's John's fault. I don't know who John is.
She just emailed me. She just emailed me with a different phone number.
That's the problem.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time.
She's alive.
It's a minute before 7. We got to take a break. We'll come back, do the news, and we'll see if we can catch up to the fruitcake lady later. So, I can't believe that.
I can't either.
It sounds like it was just confusion.
Right.
It was confusion about the phone number.
Just a misunderstanding.
Know that the fruitcake will be peacefully passed on, even if it has to be extracted from this woman's arms by a SWAT team, will be peacefully passed on to the next fruitcake winner. And yes, I did mean that. Winner. Coming soon to the Steve Cochran Show, minute before 7. A chance for you to win Hawks tickets coming up in 10 minutes on 720 WGN.
Thanks to the fine, fine people at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. We have Hawks tickets to give away all season long. But, yeah, I mean, anybody can, any chump can go seventh caller. Certainly, occasionally, I'll chump out and do it. But not today. Oh, no, not today. Today, you got to work for it.
Today is
Puck. You want these tickets, you got to work for it.
Puck in the Pants Part 3?
Yes. We have hidden a puck in a celebrity's pants. You have to guess which celebrity has a puck in their pants.
All right, so you gave one clue earlier.
Yeah. Can you give me, for people that haven't heard this, can you give me Skilling or Obradovich? What do you got?
Tom Skilling with a puck in my pants.
Yeah, that's Tom Skilling. He had a puck in his pants.
Tom Skilling with a puck in my pants.
Okay, Tom, easy. And do you have Ed? Okay, find Ed for me when you can. Ed Obradovich from the world-famous Sunday pregame or postgame show, I should say. Hamp, OB, Kaz, and the kid that they never remember the name of that brings them the food.
Carmen.
Yeah, Mark Carmen.
Yeah.
And it's a great show and big ratings, and congratulations to them. But Ed Obradovich, legendary Chicago Bears tough guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't get any tougher than OB.
No.
I mean, OB, I think I'm right about this. I think OB is 72 or 3. And, you know, he's got aches and pains like anybody does when they get older. But he still could beat the hell out of everybody.
Everybody in the room.
You could play for the Bears right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine how much fun it was when we put a puck in his pants. Almost wish I could hear it right now. So any second now, I'm sure, we'll hear it. No, not any second now. Sometime soon, we'll hear that tape. But in the meantime, know that we have hidden a puck in a new celebrity's set of trousers.
Trousers?
It's a dude.
How about pants?
No, this dude would wear trousers.
Trousers.
Yeah, this dude would wear trousers.
Is that another hint?
I didn't say that.
You said it's a he. You said it's a famous person.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about one more clue?
Well, I'll give you some right after Mary Does Traffic.
Okay.
Mary Does Traffic first, and this is sponsored by Donald Trump's hair.
An accident on the outbound side of the Kennedy, or the inbound side, rather, Nagel has been cleared, so no more problems there. Inbound side of the Eisenhower at Independence, accidents blocking the two left lanes. Very heavy traffic, hour 25 from 53, hour 10 from Mannheim, 42 outbound to 53, 50 coming in on the Stevenson, 22 on the inbound Ryan, about 28 on the inbound Edens, and slow on I-90 Barrington into 53. Mary Vanderbilt, WGN Traffic Central.
You know, that Ed Obradovich puck in his pants thing sounded a lot like this.
Hi, I'm Ed Obradovich, and I have a puck in my pants.
Hamp actually made it his ringtone. Every time his phone rings, it just says that over and over again until he answers.
She's really awkward, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, so here are the clues. This is a famous person. Okay? It's a guy. He's a big Hawks fan. Matter of fact, this guy was a Hawks fan before everybody else jumped on the bandwagon.
Big Hawks fan.
Yeah.
Famous.
Mm-hmm. Any guesses?
Like a Hollywood actor?
The guy who played Benson.
No, it's not Benson. It's not Robert Guillaume. Okay. I think Robert Guillaume's dead, isn't he?
Big Hawks fan.
This person's alive. That's another clue. So it's someone who's alive. They're a Hawks fan. I got to write down the clue so I remember what I said.
Yeah.
Alive, a Hawks fan.
Steve Dale.
It is not Steve Dale.
Nick DiGilio.
It is not Nick DiGilio. Wow. And I just want to say a guy who wears pants.
Most of the time.
Yeah. Let's see. He has multiple interests, including being an expert in aviation.
Oh.
He's an aviation expert.
And it's not Orion.
It is not Orion.
Is it
Roger Treemstra?
No. It is not Roger.
Yeah. Hmm.
Are you sure it's not me?
It is. Well, let me
ask. Check. Yeah.
Do you feel like you have a puck in your pants?
No.
All right, then it's not you.
Not Orion.
Okay.
But I have a feeling someday soon it's going to be. you need another clue?
Is it an athlete?
This person believes they're athletic.
Okay, but they're not a professional athlete like a bear or a bull. Or
oh,
a
no, no, no.
Okay.
Not a professional athlete.
Okay.
No.
They're professional.
How about this? Known for his sartorial splendor.
Oh.
I don't even know what I said.
That's a resort, right?
His what?
He's a good dresser.
Like he's satirical.
No. I think what I said was he's a good dresser.
Okay.
He's known for his fashion sense.
Fashion sense. This is
fashion
tough.
Sense.
Bill Luff.
Yeah. He's not into aviation.
He's not really a flashy dresser. Either.
We have a winner?
He is an athlete, though.
We have a winner. I'm being told we have a winner.
Yes, I think our listeners are outsmarting our contest.
All right, don't give it up. Don't give it up, because I want to see how long it takes for this incredibly brilliant staff of mine to get this. All right, we got all the clues I've given so far. Okay? He's a fancy dresser.
Your clues are kind of vague, too, but go ahead.
Well, what do you want? Just give you the answer?
Well, be a little more specific.
Has anybody said Orion Samuelson?
He's alive. He was a Hawks fan before it was cool. How about this? He's only worked once outside of his hometown professionally in his chosen career, and that was when his career started in Ohio. Ever since then, he's been a Chicago fixture.
Bill Curtis?
It is not Bill Curtis.
It's a broadcaster?
Yes, it's a broadcaster. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had to think for a second, but yes, it is. yes, from Ohio. Yes.
I know who it is.
Let's see. I mentioned his fashion sense. He loves pocket squares.
Mm-hmm. And he thinks he's an athlete, I think you said.
Yeah, thinks he's an athlete. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about this? This one should give it to you. He's a hypochondriac.
Yeah, now we know.
Well, of course, Kev, you know.
Is he a germaphobe?
Well,
Kevin's nodding. Kevin's like,
Kevin's nodding. Okay, I got this one.
He picked it.
Yeah, you talked to him.
No, I was smiling because it was fun to see Andrea's face change when it all clicked in her head.
All right, Mary, who is it?
I knew. Can I say?
No, let's go to the caller.
Okay.
Is it Chuck? Is that the guy? I mean, it's not Chuck. Chuck's not the answer.
Chucky.
Why would I be guessing on my own contest? Chuck, I've given you a lot of clues. What tipped it for you?
Aviation.
Aviation.
I don't know why. Yeah.
How about hypochondriac? How about this one? Well, the frequency of his voice will drive your dog nuts.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Rokan.
Rokan! You gotta
be
kidding.
My name is Rokan, and I host afternoons on WGN from 3 to 7. It appears that the puck is in my pants, and it's cold.
Oh, poor Ro.
How long did you make him keep the puck in his pants?
Don't we have a puck warmer?
Yeah, we do. That's why the intern program doesn't exist anymore.
Oh,
my.
Seriously, how long did you make him keep the puck in his pants?
I didn't time it.
But it was a while.
Well, he got off the air last night. We said, shove this in your pants. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
His voice got higher.
Is this the same puck and it gets passed around, or is it a different puck?
No. It's a tradition of hockey. It's the same Stanley Cup. Why wouldn't it be the same puck?
Oh, we don't clean the puck?
That's none of your business. Oh.
My last guess will be Orion Samuelson.
I don't think so.
Here are the clues I didn't get to. He flew with the Blue Angels. That would have helped you, right, Chuck? Chuck, did I lose Chuck? What happened to Chuck? Chuck?
Chuck? He should be still there.
Chuck? Chuck? Is Chuck with the fruitcake lady? Anyway, Chuck's the winner of the tickets. Let's see. His uncle is worried about black helicopters circling his house. I don't know that story. His mother ruined his chances at Northwestern. And did you know this about Rokan? He used to get coffee for Walter Jacobson.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Walter's here a couple times a month at least, if not every week. He could get coffee for him now.
He should.
Yeah.
Wait, you mean Ro should get coffee for Walter?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He once accidentally set his pet turtle on fire.
How do you accidentally set your pet turtle on fire?
I'm not sure it was an accident.
Oh.
Maybe one of those famous turtle arson fires that you hear about.
Don't tell Steve Dale.
And it's cold.
Rokan has a puck in his pants, and Chuck's a big winner. Congratulations, Chuck. That's courtesy of whom, Kevin?
That is courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing.
And did you know he started his career in Ohio?
I did not know that.
I think it was mm-hmm. Granville, Ohio, maybe?
Was it?
Yeah, some little station there before he came to Chicago.
And it's been in Chicago ever since?
Ever since, yeah. Cool. Yeah, and was recently fired from WLS, and we lost a bet, so we had to hire him.
Yeah. Is that what happened?
That's what happened?
That's what happened. It's a true story. It's 7:23. We're back with more of the Steve Cochran Show next on 720 WGN. The Steve Cochran Show continues. I got to get the guy's name. Do you know that there was a survivor of the Bataclan Theater massacre that also was in New York on 9/11.
Oh, my gosh.
That's one where you stop and go, whoa, whatever I did, God, I just want to tell you I'm sorry, and I'd like to say I'm sorry until you stop putting me in positions like this.
No kidding.
How about that? So, but I'll see if I can find his name, because that's an amazing story. Donald Trump is in the news today, as he is most days. Donald Trump did yesterday what most pathological liars do, and that is whenever you get busted, you defend your lie more vociferously. Like if I tell you this guy's green, you go, no, this guy's blue. Whoa, hey, look, I was outside. I saw the sky. I know what I saw. The sky is green. You have to be firm. You have to be confident. You have to be full of crap. And Donald Trump is has been called out by all sorts of media sources, Republicans, Democrats, people in the Republican Party, people in the Democrat Party. And he continues to stick to the story that he saw Arabs in New Jersey by the thousands dancing and celebrating on 9/11 as the World Trade Center fell. First off, the view from Trump's apartment's got to be incredible, because he said he saw bodies falling from the World Trade Center, and he also saw New Jersey, which, granted, is just across the river, but he saw New Jersey where there were people celebrating. And then he changed that to he saw them on TV. So Trump continues to stick to the story, but that's not the most entertaining Trump story that's out today. The most entertaining Trump story is NBC has agreed to provide equal time to Republican candidates for the free advertising Donald Trump got on Saturday Night Live a couple of weeks ago. There are equal time laws, rules, and provisions that we all live under in this business, and once a candidate declares his or her candidacy, you have to be careful about who you put on, whether it's an interview or whatever, because other candidates can request equal time. Several have already agreed to NBC's offer, and NBC's offer is, that's right, John Kasich will host Saturday Night Live. Ben Carson will host Saturday Night Live. Who doesn't want to see Bobby Jindal come back and host Saturday Night Live? No, these candidates were offered local advertising time in Iowa, New Hampshire, and other places on NBC affiliate stations.
Yeah, 12 minutes worth of advertising.
Yeah, 12 minutes, which is what, I don't know how they came up with the 12 minutes, but 12 minutes is the number they came up with what they owe them. George Pataki, the former governor of New York, who doesn't have a one share, turned down NBC's offer because he's trying to get more. I think if NBC offers you 12 minutes, you go, thank you.
Right.
So, but equal time now. Trump is even causing problems for Saturday Night Live after he put on the highest ratings they've had in forever. Again, give him a TV show.
They came to the 12 minutes because they said he was on for 12 minutes and 5 seconds.
Give him a TV show.
That's how
they love me. They love me.
I love you, Donald. And full supporter, as you know. It's 7:32. We're going right to the big story. All right, big story time now. And Andrea is here. This is sponsored by Macell.com. Coming up in just a few minutes now, Corey Brooks, Pastor Corey Brooks, on the release of the video of this shooting. Is this what you're covering
here? This is the big story for this hour. Yeah, Cook County prosecutors expected to charge a white Chicago police officer today with murder in the fatal shooting of a black teenager. Of course, the charge comes as the city prepares to release squad car video of Jason Van Dyke shooting Laquan McDonald. Now, some residents say Mayor Emanuel's calls for peaceful protests aren't realistic.
The mayor has not done anything that should make any black person in this city feel obligated to oblige him or obligated to honor his request for peace.
The mayor did meet yesterday with community leaders and religious leaders, as well as aldermen at City Hall. This is activist Jamal Green, who talked about concerns over possible protests once that video is made public.
These officers that kill us can sit on desk duty for a year with $83,000 salary like a vacation.
The police department ignored several FOI requests to release that video, but last week a judge ordered the video be made public after a freelance journalist filed a lawsuit against the police department. The judge says the video should be released. The city says it will do so tomorrow. And again, Corey Brooks, Pastor Corey Brooks from the New Beginnings Church, coming on with us after this newscast.
7:40 now, and Jason Van Dyke is expected to be indicted for murder in the killing of 17-year-old Laquan McDonald. This is a case that's been going on for quite a while. His family received a settlement from the city of $5 million. For those of you not familiar with the awful details here, Chicago police
also have moved in on Monday to discipline a second officer. You're going to see on TV a completely different guy, Officer Dante Servin, who shot a 22-year-old named Rakia Boyd. And Superintendent Gary McCarthy has asked or recommended that the officer be fired. The jury had acquitted Servin of involuntary manslaughter early last April. Here's what we know. We know there's a tremendous distrust in certain communities in this city for the police. We also know that this murder indictment coming down today doesn't close the investigation or the case running through the justice system. To be fair, these communities have every right to be upset, as do the community leaders in this case, that you're asking for help now because you don't want a riot to break out. Where was your request to talk to us before? And I think that's one of the points Pastor Corey Brooks would like to make as he joins us now. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you for having me on the show. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it. You've been on before, and it's nice to have you back, even under these circumstances. So, look,
yes, sir.
The thing I think people need to understand, regardless of what Laquan McDonald did, I don't care that he had PCP in his system. I wish he didn't because I wish he hadn't gone down that road. Certainly it matters that he had a knife, but cops are trained to react. Cops are trained to use deadly force if necessary. This is beyond over the top, and it appears that this officer is now going to be charged with murder today. However, that doesn't change the fact that the release of this video could set a fire that is going to be very difficult to put out. So what are you hearing and what are you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling, very hurt that someone thinks that they could do a child like that in America. That's these are the times in which we live that we should not have to experience these things. I'm also a little anxious, worrying that this video could potentially set off a lot of violence, a lot of rioting. I've experienced the Ferguson situation, the Baltimore situation.
Right.
I saw the devastation, and I don't want that to happen in Chicago.
Have you talked to Laquan McDonald's family?
I have not, but I've talked to a couple of individuals even this morning who have, and I'm supposed to be setting up a meeting to meet with them this afternoon.
They have said through their spokespeople, whoever they may be, that they didn't want this video released. Are you surprised that didn't have more weight?
Well, there is a Freedom of Information Act, and even though the family did not want it to be released, because of the Freedom of Information Act, we have a right to videos like that, especially when shootings by people who are supposed to protect us are done. And so even though I hurt for the family and it's devastating for the family, but at the same time, we live in America and we're supposed to abide by the law.
But this distrust that in particular the African-American community has of the police just gets worse in incidents like this. And I think, at least I hope you would agree with this, that the vast majority of cops aren't like this guy and don't do this stuff. This notion that white cops get up and hunt black kids is ridiculous.
Right. That's one of the things that I wanted to say, and I'm glad you said it because I did want to say exactly what you just said, that the majority of police officers are great women and men who do great jobs, and they're wonderful people who protect our community. But we cannot ignore the fact that we also have bad apples.
Sure.
And it's those bad apples that we need to get rid of in the police force. And it's just like every other profession, with pastors, with newscasters, with journalists. There are always a few who go awry and do stupid things. Those individuals need to be dealt with according to the law, and those are the ones that we're wanting to deal with. We definitely believe there are some great cops.
I agree 1,000%.
Pastor Brooks, good morning. Wanted to ask you, I mean, you're obviously a leader in the community, activist as well. People listen to you and respond to you. Has there been any call on behalf of yourself or any leaders in the community to, if there is going to be any sort of freedom of speech rally or anything of that sort, to do it peacefully? Because I'm sure you'd agree, unrest and violence is not the answer. Two wrongs don't make a right, basically.
Absolutely. We're asking for peace. Even this morning, I made some videos asking for people to pray for our community, asking people to be peaceful in their protests. Everyone has in America the First Amendment right, and they need to use that First Amendment right. But we need to do it in a peaceful way. But what we do need to also realize is that there are element of young people who are frustrated, who are angry, who are mad about their situations, and no one really understands it unless you're really here. But on the south sides and west sides of Chicago, these young men have no jobs. They have no economic base. The education system has failed them. We have a family structure breakdown. There's a lot of anger and a lot of hopelessness. And these individuals, we need to be cognizant of, are not going to allow, I believe, this to be resolved peacefully.
Well, that's our concern. That's our concern for everybody, including our concern for the 99% of people that live in the neighborhoods where this sort of violence could erupt. Because you're damaging your own neighborhood. You're damaging people you care about, people you see at church, people that you pass on the street. I mean, you know, just here's the truth. Ferguson changed things, or I should say, has started to change things for the right reasons. The violence in Ferguson didn't change anything because the violence gave every armchair racist an opportunity to go, well, that's what blacks do.
Yeah, and here's the difference in Chicago. There's been a promotion, and I've heard grassroots leaders, even last night I heard Father Flager on a news clip promoting that people go downtown on Michigan Avenue, and that's what people need to be cognizant of, that there are people who are promoting not burning up the neighborhood, but there are people who are promoting, even like Father Flager, very influential people who are saying, hey, let's go down to Michigan Avenue, let's protest there. Even though, and so people need to know that there are people who are interested in not just protesting on the south side and west side of Chicago, but they want to affect the economic situation of Chicago and bring attention and awareness in what better place some people believe than on Michigan Avenue.
Well, listen, I don't disagree with that either. You know, I think, you know, you get back to the basics of this, right? You get back to stopping traffic and you're going to get news attention, but you're also going to get people go, get out of my way. I'm just trying to go home. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, people need to know this story. This officer needs to go through the justice system and needs to face justice for this ridiculous act, as it appears to be from what we know. The family, you know, grieving, doesn't need to go through this. They're going to be put through this again. It's a sad story all the way around. But the other thing, Pastor, I don't know if you have a sense of this, and, you know, it's easy for us to sit in this beautiful studio on Michigan Avenue and talk about this, but we need to stop talking in Chicago about this community and that community and start talking about this city. And we need to have literal integration and stop. You know, it doesn't need to be rich white folks on Michigan Avenue and poor black folks on the west side. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, I would agree with you to a certain extent, and that it is one Chicago, it is one city, and I only wish that everybody would act that way.
Right.
I wish that when it comes to the educational system, that the schools up north would not have the best education, and the kids out south and out west get this poor schools and poor education. I wish that it was that way when it comes to the economic base, when you see people with jobs and flourishing and living in their homes. But when you come to the south side and west side of Chicago, you see foreclosures, you see boarded up homes, and you see people without jobs. So we can't just say that when things are going bad, but we need when things are going good, we need to say it also when things are going bad and accept the responsibility that it's up to all of us to do something about the condition of all of the citizens of Chicago. And it shouldn't just be a city that's great for a few people. It should be a city that's great for a lot of people.
Everybody should have the same opportunity to maximize their lives.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Before you run, I know how busy you are, and I appreciate it. And I hope we get a chance to talk more about this going forward, because you're welcome here. You know that.
Thank you so much.
But in the meantime, you were one of that group that spoke to the mayor yesterday, and I believe you had a chance to directly say to him, why are you coming to us now? Why weren't we having this conversation before? Did he give you an answer to that?
No, not really. You know, I'm going to be serious about the fact that I'm really upset that you come to us a year after a shooting, after you've settled a $5.2 million suit, and when the city is in a financial shambles, and now you come to us and ask us to help make peace. But no one came to us to give us the details. And mind you, some of the very people in that room were asking for details, like myself, a year ago about this shooting, and we couldn't get any information, we couldn't get any assistance, we couldn't get any knowledge of what really happened. And there was a journalist who came to me and showed me the autopsy pictures where he shot. I questioned and asked questions? Could we get information? And no one would give us information. And now the same people that would not give us information are asking us to keep things calm. And although we are going to try to make things calm, I just want to make sure that no one tries to place the blame on the faith-based pastors if things go awry. If they go awry, it's definitely not our fault.
No, because you're trying to keep them from going awry, and
exactly,
yeah, and you know, you're absolutely right. You have a right to protest, and you should protest, and we should protest, and this cop should go through the system, and there should be continued questions. But the mayor needs to look at his administration and his office and be proactive going forward. I'd like to say this will never happen again. We both know that somewhere in some big city it is going to happen again, and it might be a white kid,
yeah,
or it might be a Hispanic kid, but something is going to happen again. And the wrong time to come to you guys is to say, hey, the fire could start tomorrow. Help us put out the fire. You're completely right about that.
Yeah, exactly. And what I'm hoping, and I want to make very clear, we need all of Chicago to come together, and we're hoping that it will be peaceful. We're hoping that it won't be violent. We don't need that in our city. I don't want us to have a Ferguson and a Baltimore situation. So I'm hoping that everyone who's listening will make sure that if you're going to participate in demonstrations, please, please, please do it peacefully and not bring harm or injury to any individual.
Pastor Brooks, thank you. Is there a way for people to stay in touch with you, social media or otherwise?
Yes, they can follow me on Twitter, Corey B. Brooks, or they can follow me on Facebook, Corey B. Brooks or Pastor Corey Brooks, and also our website, mbcchicago.tv, mbcchicago.tv, or projecthood.org, projecthood.org, which is our non-for-profit. And once again, thank you guys so much for allowing me to be on the show.
Yeah, and you know what we'll do? We'll podcast this, and we'll link this on our own social media, too. So
thank you so much.
Thanks. I appreciate you being on. It's Nate, that's the thing. It's not white Chicago and black Chicago.
Yeah,
it's Chicago.
It's a great point, the integration. I mean, I grew up on the South Side, so I mean, I understand exactly what he's talking about. But again, calling for calm, calling for doing this peacefully. I understand people are going to be upset. We all understand that.
Well, and yeah. I understand why these kids are upset without
sure.
having opportunities. But burning down a building or grabbing a gun or, you know, setting fire to a car. And here's the thing, and we know this is true. What CNN has turned into and what the news networks has turned into, this video is Christmas Day because they will run this and they'll get a rating spike and then they'll run it some more. And the more it runs, the more everything gets literally inflamed and the worse things get. That's why you don't release this video. And that's why this journalist doesn't need to be held up as some hero for filing a lawsuit to get this released. And again, Lisa Madigan, who you know I'm a fan of, who was asked to be on the show. Her office turned down the opportunity today. But the people who are going to face whatever the fallout of this is needs to understand why the attorney general insisted that this video be released. And if there's a legal precedent for it that she had to follow, then she needs to make that statement. And I haven't seen it. Have you? Because I haven't seen a specific statement to that regard.
No, it just... I'm trying to read it. What her response was. But
all right. Well, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. Texter from the 219. Pastor Brooks, how does education fail people who don't attend or disrupt class while attending? Do you know how people act while on PCP? You need to care. Okay. Not quite sure what that specifically refers to.
Well, there was a Laquan McDonald.
Yeah, he had PCP in his system.
PCP in his system. Yeah.
No, I'm saying I don't understand the complaint.
Oh yeah, just. People voicing their thoughts. We're getting a lot of emails.
847, idiot cops costing millions across the country, not all heroes, not even close. Well, and then the truth is, all it takes is a couple of idiot cops to become the story as opposed to the 99% of cops who are getting it done.
Right. There was some amazing number, too, that the city of Chicago has settled. It's in the millions, of course, but how many millions of dollars in lawsuits regarding police shootings have been settled? Millions. Millions. This one was five alone.
219, Southsiders need to be willing to be educated instead of making excuses. That's all we hear from blacks. If they would make the effort to do that instead of feeling entitled to something, Brooks is an enabler for entitlement. This person has to make the effort. You know, again, if you don't live in the neighborhood and if you don't live the life on a day-to-day basis, judge not. Hasn't this sellout lost his position as a spokesman for anything? It'd be good to hear from a pastor who hasn't taken a paid job from the governor, paid board. Listen, I know who sent that text, and whether or not he's getting paid by the governor has nothing to do with this case.
Isn't he confusing him with James Meeks? Meeks took a paid position with the governor. I'm not sure whether Brooks has. Situation.
It's 815. What's the difference if the video had been released a year ago? Oh, no. What I'm saying is the video shouldn't be released. You know, and couldn't we have a group of community leaders or pastors who see the video?
Oh, Brooks did get a part-time job. It's a $30,000 a year part-time gig on the State Highway Board.
What does politics have to do with this?
Nothing at this point.
From the 815, you're such a race baiter, Steve. Why don't you leave Naperville and go to be a policeman in the city and understand what it's like to work there? I'd like to see you at the protests. Who has been more supportive of cops than me?
You're very supportive of the police. Very.
You know, that's the thing. I love.
No, you are, and I'm not just saying
I love that. This audience, and this audience drives me nuts. You hear what you want to hear when you send a text like that. Listen to what I'm saying, not the last thing that upsets you. And then take a breath before you hit send. It's 8:03, and we got to get to the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. Andre.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard.
Dean rejoins me now. Dean, live guest in studio. Surprise coming up in just a second.
Can't believe it.
Very excited.
Oh, you haven't said who it is yet.
No. But you know who has a puck in their pants?
Tom Skilling.
Nope. Tom Skilling removed his. He passed it over to Ed Obradovich. And
what?
Is that the chicken on the internet?
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm watching it while we talk.
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate you paying attention.
Is it distracting you?
No. Ed Obradovich had a puck in his pants. Rokan has a puck in his pants.
Well, it's becoming the trend, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Rokan has a puck in his pants. Didn't he tell me it was cold? I think he said it was cold. Yeah.
I would imagine it would be.
Sure, because they ice the pucks. Did you know that they keep the pucks in a freezer?
Did not know that.
Yeah.
If I put one in my pants, I would definitely warm it up a little bit. I put it in the microwave for like 30 seconds, I think.
Well, then you got to give it time to cool off a little bit.
Well, a little bit, because you don't want to get a burn down there.
No, that would be very,
that
very
bad. That would
be
embarrassing at the emergency room.
Well, there's Ro now. Changes your plans for the weekends. Ro,
it's cold.
Ro, are you okay? Are you all right?
My name is Ro Khan, and I host afternoons on WGN from 3 to 7. It appears that the puck is in my pants, and it's cold.
Sounds like the chicken.
He's such a man. How much am I paying for the Wizard of Oz dress that Judy Garland wore?
You must have celebrity memorabilia. You must have,
sure.
You know, how much would you pay for something, even if you were a super big fan of something, at one of these big, you know, celebrity auctions? Somebody paid $1.5 million for the blue gingham dress that Judy Garland wore.
I've got Mel Torme's toupee.
Really?
Yeah, $7.50.
I like to borrow that sometime.
Yeah, $7.50.
$1.5 million for the dress, but that's not even the highest of Wizard of Oz memorabilia. The ruby slippers, the red ruby slippers.
How much?
Recently, somebody paid $2 million for those.
Is that $1 million a piece?
Yeah, I think they were sold as a pair. I don't think you can buy just one.
I'd like the left one.
Because that's where he keeps his puck. The Cowardly Lion costume,
yeah,
$3.1 million recently.
Yeah, stop it already.
Sold in auction. I like the Wizard of Oz, but...
Come on. And the Tin Man costume, you go to Home Depot, you get a little bit of sheet metal, you make one at your house.
You make one yourself, exactly.
Come on, if you guys had all the money in the world, wouldn't it be cool to have one of these, you know, in your basement?
I could think of so many other stupid things to buy.
Yeah. The list of stupid and money. That's a good list.
You know how many chickens and Roombas I'd had if I was a millionaire?
You and your chicken Roomba.
I would have my whole house filled with chicken.
Let me tell you something. If the Roomba people don't do a commercial with that chicken, they're out of their mind.
I'm telling you. They certainly got a free one today.
And by the way, that is the phrase of pace. When Dean said they certainly got a free one today, you could be a big winner. Donald Trump had big ratings when he hosted Saturday Night Live, a show that was not very funny, by the way, as most of the SNLs aren't. But on top of the fact that he got big ratings, he also created problems. Why?
He was on camera for a total of 12 minutes. According to the FCC rules, if there is a candidate who is appearing for something other than a news event, then said television station or network must provide equal time to other candidates who apply for it.
And that's why, coming soon to NBC.
Coming soon, you will see 12 minutes of John Kasich, 12 minutes of Mike Huckabee, 12 minutes of Lindsey Graham, 12 minutes of Jim Gilmore, and possibly 12 minutes of George Pataki. They haven't worked out the negotiations
on
that just yet.
I did not know the Gilmore guy. Maybe that's the show he's going to be doing, Gilmore Guys. But I would pitch it completely different. I'd do a show called Pataki's Puns, where he just gets to go on NBC and do puns.
That would be fun.
How about Looney Lindsey, where Lindsey Graham goes on and just does some of his favorite comedy bits, or the hilarious hijinks of Huckabee. I mean, come on. These are all great shows. I'm pitching here.
These are maybe that's what they have planned for this. Because, you know, SNL was a comedy show.
That's what I'm saying. They're comedy gonna, by Kasich, where you spell comedy with a K. That's all I'm saying. You two rescheduled?
Yeah, that was the concert that was supposed to take place 2 days. The original schedule was 2 days after the Paris attacks. Last week. They have rescheduled it all. It'll now be December 7th on HBO. U2, Innocence and Experience, live in Paris, December 7th. Yesterday, Bono issued a statement saying, for one night, the Killers took lives, took music, took peace of mind. They cannot steal the spirit of that city.
And that should be a phenomenal event. Elizabeth Hasselbeck out at Fox News.
Says she's leaving because she wants to take care of her kids. She's been on Fox and Friends for 2 years now. After 47 years on The View.
Spending more time with her family. No one's ever used that in celebration
no,
in celebrity world, have they?
That never happens when things aren't going well.
The new Rocky movie's out soon, right?
Yeah, I'll give you the full review on this tomorrow. It's a pretty good movie. It's young Michael B. Jordan. He was in
front. Oh, that's the guy that played for us, right?
yes, he played for the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
There's a statue of him right outside of the United
States. I didn't know he could act.
Yeah. He also starred in Fruitvale Station. He was in Fantastic Four.
How do I not know that Michael Jordan was doing all these movies?
Friday Night Lights. You need to keep up a little better on your...
Didn't he start here as an extra?
Showbiz, he did. You know what? Yeah. He lived in Chicago.
Until Phil Jackson put him on...
at WGN Radio, remember?
Oh, Michael Jordan.
Wow.
Remember him? Andre... Oh, I remember him. Reaching Alex, into the archives, Dean.
Alex, I'll take obscure behind-the-scene references for 300, please.
Michael Jordan was a sales assistant. Couldn't be a nicer guy.
He was a stand-in.
He was an extra in about 50 movies.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve used to have a regular feature with Michael B. Jordan.
Because he promoted his shows all the time.
Yeah, what movies you would see him as a cadaver in.
Right, or sitting at a table behind everybody.
Right, having coffee. So this
By the way, next hour coming up, other people you don't know that worked here.
That's right.
We have a fantastic Marilyn Miller segment coming up.
The great Marilyn.
The great Marilyn. Legendary Marilyn
is right.
Miller.
All right, do you have tape on Michael B.?
We do have this Michael B. Jordan, who co-stars with Sylvester Stallone in this movie, just talking about the kind of preparation it takes to do a big boxing movie.
Was it a year? More than a year?
Yeah, it was about a year. I mean, I've known about it before me and Ryan shot for Real Station, so mentally I had enough time to kind of get a head start on things. But hardcore, strict, being pretty consistent, about a year. Diet change. Chicken, broccoli, brown rice, a lot of water, just pretty basic.
So you were a disciplined man.
Oh, for
right?
Sure. I mean, I got, a trainer, a boxing trainer that was with me, pretty much 24/7. I mean, the first couple of weeks, they had to, slap the food out of my hand and take the candy bar, because I'm a snacker, and I love food. So.
And you're in Philadelphia, right?
I mean, cheesesteaks, pizza, pasta.
All that you could not eat, probably.
Exactly,
right?
But I did have a cheat day, so my cheat days were pretty intense.
Don't you have someone that knocks food out of your hand? When you're in training, Steve?
I tried that with Kevin, and he bit me. Yeah.
Serves you right for using the bacon cologne.
Hey, I've got somebody here you need to meet. Of course, Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we are known for this type of thing, and I think we've done more of this than just about anybody. I'm quite proud of it. We've got another talking animal on the show today. This is a talking turkey. Good morning. Your name?
This is Tommy Butters, man. Action hero. Mr. Dean Richards, I cannot tell you how awesome it is to meet you.
You must be from California, Thomas.
I am from Modesto.
It's Tommy Butters.
Oh, I guess that.
He's a live turkey. Do you have any questions for the turkey? How do you get your giblets in?
I was going to ask.
Yeah, anyways, more about me. Listen, here's the deal.
About breasts, but it suddenly seemed incredibly inappropriate.
No, totally get it. Get it. You know, I wanted to be an actor, so I've studied the last year with Juilliard. And Miss our first name Julie, who lives in Oswego, she's been phenomenal. I got hired for, here's the point, Dean, I would absolutely go nuts if you would come out to my one-man show this Thursday. I was hired for the dinner theater. I'm doing Death of a Salesman by myself.
You don't see Death of a Salesman one-man show that often.
Yeah, it's at Ma and Pa's Birdland. Hey, do you mind if I do a plug for Ma and Pa's Birdland?
No, that's finally.
Oh, this would be great. It says, come out to Ma and Pa's Birdland, home of the Carol Powell carrot cake. Remember, if you take the land out, you only get the bird.
What a great slogan.
Yeah, wow. They had me ride it. So.
Have you ever ridden a Roomba?
I did in South America.
He sounds, you know, I noticed he sounds really chill considering it's 2 days before Thanksgiving. I would think a turkey would be a little more anxiety filled.
Doesn't know.
Okay.
No. Hey, we're just about out of time.
Can't hear you.
Just about out of time, Tommy Butters, but you're going to be around signing autographs this
morning? I'm going to be around, yes. So come right, on, Dean, I would love for you to watch my show.
Come and review your show, and I'll bring some gravy.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
Which may be a new phrase that pays.
And we're trying to tape the pen to his turkey paw.
His feathers.
What is it, a turkey? What is it, a talon? It's not a talon, it's a paw. It's a leg.
His feather.
It's a foot. Yeah, turkey little, foot.
Yeah.
Turkey leg.
It's turkey leg, yes.
What part is the talon?
It's that thing Steve Martin played the other night on stage. Turkey foot. Turkey foot. I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, so we'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll have more of whatever this is.
Later, Thomas.
Say goodbye.
Bye.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Ooh, yeah. 8:43 now, and Steve Cochran Show number 542 continued. On Twitter at Cochran Show, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Texters and phone calls at 312-981-7200. Podcasts at WGNradio.com and the WGN Radio app, and tune in. The Corey Brooks interview from last hour is up right now. So you could pull that if you missed it. In discussions of what may happen when this video is released tomorrow. I'm trying to figure out what to get you guys for Christmas.
Oh, money, clothes, cars.
What do you guys want?
McDonald's gift cards.
I told Ross I'd give him whatever he wants as long as he tells me what he and Lauren are going to name the baby.
Which is weird, because the one thing I want for Christmas is for you not to know what we're going to name the baby.
Sailor James seems to be trending this year.
Yeah.
Sailor James is the name of Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler's new baby girl, because allegedly Kristen Cavallari met a dog that she liked on a walk named Sailor.
When she was pregnant.
Right.
Yeah.
She named it Sailor.
Did you guys have a dog growing up?
Yeah, we had a couple. We had Cleo and Mindy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mindy.
Yeah. Neither of those are on the list.
Okay. There you go.
And to be clear, dog related or not, they would not have been on the
list.
Okay. Yeah. They're great dogs. I don't, to each his own. I don't think you name your new beautiful little baby girl after a dog that you met. It seems odd to me.
It's a different.
Do we know that that story is true?
It is true.
It's been. She from her mouth to a magazine. Although I will say, I do, and I've never said this before, feel a little bit bad for Jay. Because my wife about to have a baby, knowing how distracted and like heavy that is, while also being the most vilified person in Chicago because I'm the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, that'd be a lot to deal with. So I will give Jay Cutler the tiniest bit of credit. Regardless of the silly name.
You think he'd spend more time at work?
You think he would?
No, he's played well this year. He probably is spending more time at work. I hesitate to bring this up, but I would be curious to know, because Sailor's sort of an interesting name, he said, trying to be kind.
Mm-hmm. Skylar's kind of cool, yeah.
No, not Skylar.
Our neighbor's Sailor.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry, forget it.
I've heard of Sailor
not
before,
so cool.
Though.
Our neighbor's daughter's named Cujo.
Well, that's kind of where I'm going with this. Texter lines 312-981-7200. Have you got a dog name that really would be a bad idea for a baby?
I had a guinea pig when I was growing up.
Named?
Kringle. I didn't name it.
Kringle.
Baby Kringle.
My dog's name was Flash.
Kringle.
Flash, not a great name for a baby.
It's not good.
Yeah. No.
I've had three
also
dogs.
Not a great name for your grandfather.
Work for Flash Gordon.
Yeah. Your dog's names?
Jordy, Ricky, and Lucy. Ricky definitely would not be a good one. Lucy.
Lucy's
not bad.
Good.
Lucy's kind of a hip name now.
Stephanie Menendez's daughter's name, Lucy.
Yeah, how about Lucy Ross?
Yeah. It's a hip name.
No, I'm not copying Stephanie.
Okay. I'm trying to see what I'm trying to do. narrow it down and figure. I think I know what they're going to name the baby, though.
You
I think
do?
I figured it out.
You going to tell me?
No.
Okay.
So how about Marmaduke?
So wait. I can't know the real name, and I also can't know guesses?
Correct.
We have them on our pieces of paper. Did wow. you save those, Andrea?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have those. Gwen Stefani.
Marmaduke? Baby Marmaduke?
Baby Marmaduke. Mm-hmm. Marma?
Clifford?
Speech Clifford?
Is she big and red?
Rose?
No. She's okay. actually pretty tiny.
Oh, the tech's okay. already flying in, Steve.
You want to share a couple with me?
One of the dog's names is Captain Morgan.
That's a terrible, nice. Terrible name for a baby.
Spot. You know,
Spot,
traditional
sure. Spot,
dog
Rover,
name.
Yeah.
Barfy?
Barfy.
Barfy.
Wow. You didn't name a dog Barfy.
That's what
it
somebody
sure
texted.
Say Barky.
Boozer, somebody texted in.
Wow.
Shorty.
Wait, not the name of the owner, the name of the dog.
It's Dave.
Boozer, Shorty, there's also a Taffy, somebody texted in.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much it right now.
Now, that's pretty fast, though. 312-981-7200. Terrible names for a dog that should never be for a baby. Or names for your dog that should never be used for a baby. I love that people might just turn this on and go, what the hell is he talking about?
I know. Oh, that's where I heard Sailor before. Somebody said Christy Brinkley's daughter's name Sailor.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that is right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, somebody texted in
Christy
Prince.
Brinkley's daughter is a Shih Tzu?
What? You just wanted to say that, didn't you?
I'm sorry, what, Kevin?
Somebody texted in Prince and Spike.
Oh, Prince, yeah.
Spike
yeah.
would be perfect.
Spike would be good.
Do we know any Spikes?
Spike's named after a schnauzer. Yeah, Spike Odell. Yeah. It's 8:48. I have some Christmas gift ideas right after Mary does the traffic, and you guys can tell me if you want any of this on 720 WGN. Mary. Steve Cochran Show continued this hour. The Wintrust Community Bank Tower. Kev, you have some more text. Kristen Cavallari meets a dog that she really likes on a walk while she's pregnant. This is apparently a stranger's dog, a neighbor's dog, whatever. The dog's name is Sailor. She likes the name Sailor. It's the third child for Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari. She names the new baby Sailor.
James.
James. Sailor James. Thank you. So I said, give me a dog name that's even a worse idea. And, Kev, what do you have?
People send in their animal names. Miss Wiggles, Pudgy, Fritz, and Pugsley. Let's see what else we got here. Sparky, Otto, Pebbles. The 847 sent in, my dog's name is Jughead.
Jughead's a great name.
Jughead's a good name for a dog.
Jughead's from the Archies. You don't know about the Archies?
No, that's why I just kept moving on. 219, 219 text in Humper.
I don't know if you want to go with that. No, that's a terrible idea. Ross just told me that she met this dog on a walk when she was pregnant with their first child.
Yeah.
So apparently it took her three kids to talk Jay into Sailor.
Right. 708 sent in Indiana Jones. 630 sent in...
Nobody named their dog Indiana Jones. You're just standing out on your back deck or porch. Indiana Jones!
Maybe they call him Indy.
You're the neighborhood idiot.
Let's see. What else do we got? Oh, the 847. Did you hear about the zoo that only had one dog? Anybody?
Oh, sure. That it was a Shih Tzu.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a great joke.
It's a great joke. 630 sent in Furball.
So that was the type of dog that was in the
yes,
zoo?
Yes, that's exactly right. It's weird that you would have a zoo with just one dog.
Yeah.
Most zoos don't even have dogs.
So it was like a bad zoo, right?
A few others. Banjo, Boomer, and Trigger.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate it, as far as you know. All right. And what was the one the teacher sent in?
The teacher sent... Oh, yeah. Let me get to that one here. The teacher sent in... it was a really long name they sent in. A really long one.
Take your time. We're on till 10.
Yeah, we're on till 10 here. This is the dog's name, which is really long. I've been a preschool teacher forever. I've heard many unique names. Stop it. That's a really
Stop
long...
Stop it? Stop it's a bad name.
Come here. I've been a preschool teacher for a long time. Stop it. Come here.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's a really long name.
That's long.
From the editors of the Chicago Tribune, the best gift ideas that they like so far. Lambskin gloves with a perfect red crystal manicure on each one of the fingers of the gloves.
Oh.
Yeah, got that already.
It's from, it looks like Ikram, IKRAM.com, or maybe it's LKRAM.com. Anybody heard of that?
Mm-mm.
$610 for the pair.
That's an anagram for Sebastian.
$610 for the pair. How about a Jeffrey Levinson hand-painted porcelain Chinese dragon clutch bag?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah, it looks like a porcelain Chinese bowl, but it's a purse.
Gotta have one of those.
$2,175. You can get it at Elements in Chicago.
Although that would be a good dog name.
Yes, it would.
Elements?
Yes, it would. How about a Faribault Woolen Mills pack a robe scarf, 1949 style? A Duluth pack canvas carrying case turns it into a cozy place to plunk down. Well, I guess it's a blanket. It's not just a scarf. Anyway, it's $190. It's
That's
from Faribault Mill.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a nice gift, right?
I see myself choking in it.
How about weird stuffed animals like a scary grizzly bear or a Spanish goat?
I'm saying no to the stuffed animals.
No.
From unless you're a child.
IndiePlush.com, $165, the other $70. Oh, this is cool. Biomega's OK lightweight electric bike runs on pedal or battery power. The integrated design that's intended to mimic a car body, rethinking the bike lane. It's from Biomega.com. How much?
$2,000.
I'm going to say $6,500, Steve.
$22.95.
Oh, I'd like that.
You got to buy it for me.
Sounds kind of fun.
$22.95.
Okay.
How about a secret agent screwdriver? It's a bracelet from Leatherman.com that has a bottle opener, screwdrivers, and knives and various other things already on it.
Yeah. Ooh, like a Get Smart tool?
Is that going on the airlines?
It's on.
Yeah. Good well, point, yeah.
It's on your wrist. So you're getting mugged. You go, hold on a second. I got to take my watch off. So you go to give them the watch, and then you stab them with it? I don't understand the point.
I like that, though.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It is
interesting. It's a good safety tool.
Yeah.
All right. I'll get one for each of you. They're $165.
Beats the mace.
Carrying a gun, yeah.
Let me see if there's one more here. Really great light. A light that looks like a fashionable dragon origami. A dragon's tail table lamp.
What's a gami?
It's origami. Switch modern.
Oh, origami.
Origami.
I thought you meant Switch. Or.
You guys doing your own show again?
I'm sorry.
It's switchmodern.com. Switchmodern.com. Origami paper lamp. How much?
$4,000.
$935.
Steve, I'm going to say $935.
You're a big winner.
It's made of paper. It's going to burn up. That would be a cool gift, though, a dragon light.
I love Mary's concern.
Yes.
I know. Oh, sure. Give me the $1,000 light that's going to burn up.
Well,
I think they may have tested that before they started selling it.
Who knows?
All right. So none of those are on the list. I'm just trying to find something for you guys. It's a couple minutes before 9. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
Check. The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk. Sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
MB, Financial Bank, MB means business, and MB sponsors Breakfast with the Blackhawk, where we take a listener question, could be you, and we give you an opportunity to get an autographed puck from your Chicago Blackhawks, and you can put it in your pants or put it anywhere you like. So thank you, MB Financial Bank, great partners of the radio station, MB means business. And we'll pick a question coming up, and we will talk with Jamal Mayers in just a second. Have you seen Jamal do TV?
I have. He's excellent.
He's doing a great job.
Love watching him on TV.
NBC 5.
Easy on the eyes, too.
Good-looking dude, and also a generous guy. The folks from Rags of Honor were treated to a great bit of Hawks generosity without getting too specific on it. They were just very kind. And Jamal was right there, right in the middle of it.
He's a great player, good analyst, love him. And again, he's easy on the eyes.
Yeah. So.
I mean, generally speaking.
Yeah, you mentioned that you think he's really attractive. Yeah, a couple of times. Have you talked to Mark Doyle or friend Mark Doyle or any of the guys over at Rags since they went to their first Hawks game?
Mark's on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I talk to Mark about every day and try to tell him it's going to be okay. But no, I have not talked to any of the guys after their first Hawks game.
Yeah,
I imagine it was very, very cool.
Yeah, so thank you, Hawks, for that. And, yes, Mark Doyle is up to his neck running Rags of Honor, ragsofhonor.us. I'll tell you what, we're looking for Jamal, scheduled to appear at this point. And let's save the time with him, so we'll track him down here in just a second.
That could be him right there, as a matter of fact. So we'll stall for just another second to get Jamal on. Just had a little confusion on a phone number there. And also coming up before 10 o'clock, Bill Nye, the science guy.
Oh, Dave Ennett's buddy.
Well, they went to school together. I don't know if they liked each other. I think Bill Nye may have been a bully.
No. Maybe Ennett was the bully.
So, and what is Bill Nye plugging? He's got a book out?
Yeah, a new book.
Do we have the book?
Nope.
Why do we keep having interviews where we with authors where we don't have books?
I don't know. But if,
I can't not read the book unless I have the book here to not read.
Why not? I talked to the public relations people yesterday about this.
Okay. All right, cool. Jamal joins us. Good morning, Jamal. How are you?
I'm doing great.
We were just bragging about you on TV. I think you're doing a great job.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Are you having fun with it?
Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, obviously I'd rather be playing, but, you know, talking about it is a lot easier, that's for sure.
Yeah, and occasionally do you ask any of the guys that you're working with just to punch you in the face so it feels like a game?
No, I don't miss that, I'll tell you. I saw when Seabrook got up tucked to the eye not too long ago, and I said to Pat that I really don't miss that. So
it's Jamal Mayers on Breakfast of the Blackhawk. Nobody ever says to you as you're coming up in hockey, this is hockey, you got to walk it off. There's just an understood thing, right? If you're alive, you're probably going to be asked to play. Or you're going to be expected to play.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's ingrained in you. If it's above your waist, you can get yourself to the bench. And, you know, it's just part of the culture of hockey. And you're right. I think that's just ingrained in you from a young age.
And what's the worst you ever got dinged up? Did you take a puck in a sensitive area?
Oh, yeah, I got a stick to the inner part of my eye, which was pretty scary. Right in the corner, I don't know how to describe it, but right in the corner.
No, I think you're doing a pretty good job. I think you're doing a pretty good job of describing it. And did you miss a couple of shifts?
Yeah, I missed about three shifts, but, you know, picked me up. I was good to go.
Of course, the legendary story of the Blackhawks is Duncan Keith loses seven teeth, and he's out for less than half a period.
Yeah, that's remarkable, but I wouldn't expect anything less from Dunk.
You guys remember, though, that his dentist was skating behind him going, wait, I have your teeth! So,
that's great.
All right, so Jamal, let's talk about this team. Corey Crawford seems to be struggling a bit. Obviously, it's great having Duncan Keith back. Defense seems to be getting it together. But just the other night, you get it tied up at three, and then, you know, it's 2 seconds later, or at least it feels like it, and it's a 6-3 loss. It's not something they can't recover from, but we know there's too much talent on this team to be hovering around 500.
No, it's right, and I think that was, for the most part, they played pretty well. I think that Corey actually played really well, but it's kind of deflating for a team to let in a soft goal. And
right.
I think you certainly want, you know, I think it was the fourth goal back.
Right.
But those things happen. And for the most part, he's the guy that's kind of kept them in a lot of games. And that's what teams do. They rally behind their goalie. They rally behind each other, and they find a way to get it done. And that's what this team's going to have to do going forward. I mean, you don't have to tell Corey that he didn't play well. He certainly knows, and he's mentally tough enough, as he's proven last year in the playoffs, to be able to respond.
What do you make of the lack of offense this year?
I think they haven't had the continuity, and the lines haven't really gelled, other than the Panarin line with Anisimov and Kane. They really haven't been able to find, other than that line and the fourth line, they really haven't found the first and third line, really haven't been able to click. So there's been some stick handling drills trying to figure out what's going to work, and it's been a work in progress. And until they figure that out, it's going to be a struggle.
Is that the main reason for Taves not getting a lot of quality shots, or even Hossa?
Yeah, that's exactly why. I mean, it just goes to show you the absence of Saad and what he meant to that line. And, you know, it's going to take time. Hopefully Dano could fill that spot. But right now, you know, I foresee either Dano or Teräväinen when he's healthy getting into that spot. And, you know, let the third line kind of sort itself out.
We're talking with Jamal Mayers. It's Breakfast with the Blackhawks. So when you are on a line, is there a generally accepted number of games that you have to skate together where you have a sense of where guys are going to be on the ice and you have that gel, that feel, or does it just change line to line?
Good question. Honestly, as you get older, I would figure it out after one practice.
Is that right? Work.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you get into your 30s, you kind of figure it out, okay, this is... Oh, let me tell you, when I was playing with, no offense, to Colton Orr, and I forget this other tough guy in Toronto, and in a span of 5 days, each of them came up to me, those are my wingers, and said, hey, just don't give me the pucks in the neutral zone. And then I knew it wasn't going to work because neither of them wanted the puck.
Yeah, right. So where am I going to go with it? We're all going to chip and chase.
Exactly. So that was, you kind of figure that out as you go along. And, you know, I like playing with Marcus Krueger. He's a very talented, skillful, smart hockey player who is a lot tougher than people give him credit for. Because toughness to me has nothing to do with fighting. He puts himself in tough situations, takes a hit to make a play, very smart defensively, but always makes the right play and can put you in a good position offensively. So he was a fun guy to play with.
We've got Breakfast with the Blackhawks, Jamal Mayers, and we have questions from listeners. Kev, how do people get their questions in?
They can go to WGNradio.com and go to our contest page. There's a real easy form you can fill out, or just email us, stevecochranshow@wgnradio.com.
Jamal, as you know, once you make the NHL, you play with guys from all over the world, people that grew up differently than people in North America grew up. So have you ever seen a player, maybe it's you, but have you ever seen a player that had kind of an interesting hobby when he wasn't playing hockey, you know, something other than the standard stuff, video games or whatever?
Great question. Wow, you got to prepare me for these. Rudy Poshek. He'd like to get into punch in the face contest. Look him up. Rudy Poshek, one of the toughest guys ever. He'd like to bake pies. And Rudy handed me an apple pie one day. And I'm like, thanks. He's like, oh, you're going to love this. I use these Granny Smith apples. Unbelievable. If you really like it, I got a blueberry recipe. You're going to love it. I'm like, this is the toughest man I've ever met in my life.
It's kind of hard to picture him in an apron in the kitchen.
And he likes to bake. What is going on?
That is tremendous. What a great story. That comes from Jen LaRue. And, Jen, we will get you an autographed Chicago Blackhawks hockey puck. And as the road trip continues, I know we'll talk again, Jamal, but hey, aren't you doing a clothing line now, Mr. Well-Dressed?
Oh, yes, I am. It's coming out this winter. I'm relaunching. It's going to be called David Crew Clothing.
Okay.
And it's a homage to my son's name is Crew David. My name is Jamal David. And, yeah, I'm really excited about it. We're going to start with sport coats and shirts. Certainly we can make suits. That's what we do. But I'm really excited about getting this young generation wearing sport coats and the versatility that you can do with a sport coat. So,
and where's it going to be available? Do you know yet?
Yeah, this February. So.
Yeah, but where? Where would we get it?
Well, it's going to be online.
Online, okay.
DavidCrewClothing.com. We have fashion experts that will walk you through the process and how to measure yourself. But everything you can do there is from the website. It's pretty exciting.
See, that's why Andrea keeps talking about how attractive Jamal is, because he's always well-dressed.
I said, okay, I get nothing.
He's always dressed great. So, you know, you're not going to see Jamal in sweatpants.
He's talking to air, and you're telling him what I said.
Oh, I didn't know he was listening.
Jamal, said he's easy on the eyes. All the ladies think so.
I think that's true.
And some of the men.
At Jamal Mayers, at Jamal, M-A-Y-E-R-S, all over social media. Thanks, bud. I'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
See you later. What a great story. Who was the player he mentioned? Rudy Poshek?
Something about Rudy. Yeah, I got to go back and get the last day, but a punching contest?
You know, he liked to have punch-in-the-face contests. But then he also baked pies for the guys on the team.
Do you know there's a new game now, too, Pie in the Face? Have you seen that? We should get that for him. Uh-huh. Can you imagine them playing that in the dressing room?
Give it for Jamal. Say it's from Rudy.
Yeah.
Not the most hockey player of all time. Likes to punch people, have punching in the face contest, but will also bake a pie for you.
Well, how about that guy? It's what Jamal said. He's sitting in the dressing room. He comes over. He goes, hey, you'll like this. I use the Granny Smith apples. I love that story. 923, all of that you just heard, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. We're coming back after this on 720 WGN. So Coach John Fox of your Chicago Bears has been less than forthcoming with the media. So we've been doing a little background search here to try to get to the bottom of where this all started. Because the media is not your enemy, Coach. The media is your friend. And, Kevin, you and Adam Hoge apparently found one of his mentors.
We did.
And we did. Standing by on the phone. I don't know if this is Denver or Carolina or before, but anyway, let's go to the phone. Who's this?
What do you mean, who is this? You have any idea what time it is?
I apologize, sir, if I woke you up. It's 9:27. Where are you?
I'm in California. That puts me 2 hours before you, Mr. Cochran.
7:27 in California. I'm sorry. And you know Coach John Fox?
Yeah, I know Johnny ever since he was a little boy.
And we couldn't help but notice that he's not a big media guy. And he's a little difficult to deal with. What do you know about that?
You know, I coached him. I've been coaching at Chula Vista High for 72 years.
Hold on a second. You've been a
72.
You've been a high school football coach for 72 years?
But what, did you not hear me?
Okay. All right.
You know, I saw your picture, Cochran. You look like somebody was chewing gum with their neck, blew a bubble, and forgot to pop it.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. So what do you make of his crankiness?
Well, I know he got upset. You know, we had to change our mascot, all these PC liberal people. we had to change it to the Chalupas, the Chula Vista Chalupas. It used to be the Chula Vista Racists.
Well, of course you had to change it then. The Chula, that's not PC. The Chula Vista Chalupas. I'm sure it's a fine name. But I'm speaking to the question is, why is he cranky with the media?
I don't think he's cranky with the media. He learned everything he does from me.
Right. And you're a warm guy.
You got that right. Hey, I got a question. You always this stupid, and you like making a special effort today.
Yeah, special effort. Well, I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's going to be a great Thanksgiving. You know what I always say? When the going gets tough, what you make happen turns into cream.
Okay, that's really good. Thank you for being on, Coach.
Yeah, that's great. Keep talking. I'll let you know what I'm interested in.
Wow, what a jerk. It's 9:29.
Have you ever heard your head described as gum?
No, I believe he said
it was once
like,
a bubble.
Yeah, it was a bubble that nobody popped.
Yeah,
that's mean. It's just mean and hurtful. It's 9:29. We'll come back with the news in a moment on 720 WGN. Rudy Poshek is having some legal problems now. Some people say he's even dealing with CTE. But this is the guy that Jamal Mayers was talking about, who was one of the legendary tough guys that he played with. And he played with the Rangers, the Winnipeg Jets, Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Blues. And played in the league for a long time, but recently was sentenced to 45 days in prison and a six-month conditional sentence for driving offenses and assault. So, going through a rough time. But his nickname, or his full name, as he's recognized, Rudolph Leopold Pot Pie Poshek.
Pot pie.
This is a tough guy that Jamal was talking about that made pies. So, mystery solved.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Science rules.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
You know, when you see Bill Nye, you think funky dance track, don't you?
Yeah. Or goofy on Dancing with the Stars.
And I feel badly that Dave Ennett's not here because Ennett is... Oh, we're calling Ennett now? Okay.
Oh.
Good, because Ennett's on that basketball trip. But Ennett is the guy that knows Bill Nye.
I wonder. I would love to see their dynamic in high school.
Oh, they're
high school
or junior high? Oh, yeah. It's high school. They're totally chasing women.
Like, who gave who crap, Nye or Ennett?
I don't know, but Ennett obviously is a ladies' man.
Yeah.
You know, and Bill Nye, I think the same story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So let me go to Dave Ennett first before we get to Bill Nye. You and Bill Nye used to chase women, didn't you?
No, I don't think that's correct, Steve. We were a little young. And, you know, I mean, I look, I don't want to mislead anybody. I was in the same junior high classes with Bill.
Oh, but, it was junior high.
Oh, it was junior high, yeah. And I didn't know him all that well.
So did you allow Bill Nye to use the power and mystery of science to get girls for the two of you?
Well, I would hope that he at least attempted to do that, but I'm not aware of it.
Go Cats.
And it certainly wasn't successful, at least not from my standpoint.
And he was older than you?
No, I think we're the same age.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah. I know it's hard to believe anyone's as old as me.
No, please. And whatever happened to Bill Nye, do we know? Because he's supposed to be over here with us right now.
Was that right?
Yeah.
Well, perhaps he'll magically appear.
Yeah.
Oh,
we,
look at that.
Yes, that would be great. In the meantime, we have a moment to catch up with you. How's the road trip?
Road trip's been fine. It's been a busy few days on the road from Evanston to Madison and then back home for a few hours and then Kansas City.
You still trying to get the Wisconsin-Madison snowballs out of your eyes that the kids were throwing?
Pretty much, yeah. It was a little crazy there. But it was, you know, not that bad going up there Friday night, thanks to Adam Phillips, our producer engineer. I ended up riding up with him, and he's got a big 4x4 pickup truck, and we were able to navigate the snow-covered roads going up there on Friday night. So... all in all, very successful so far.
Yeah, and I thought aside a nice
from the outcome last night. Obviously.
Well, but I thought a nice showing against the number one team in the country prior to the loss to Northern Iowa.
Absolutely, they actually played very well, and I think they showed they're going to be capable of winning a lot of games this year. So, yeah, I was encouraged by what I saw.
All right. Well, is there a message for Bill Nye, who apparently is standing by now? Do you want? Does he owe you money or anything?
Ask him if he can even remember the nickname, the school nickname for the teams from our junior high school.
Let me see if I can get him on with you here for a second. Bill Nye, the science guy. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. You mean the Alice Steel Vikings.
Oh.
There you go.
The Vikings.
Okay. They were the Vikings.
Three cheers for the Garnet and Gold.
Now, Bill, I was asking Dave Ennett
if... The Alice Steelers fall in line to be the truest school. Come on, people. In those days, we called it junior high.
Yeah.
Middle school.
Right.
Middle school is a better name, I got to say.
Bill, I was mentioning to Dave, I wondered if you ever used the power and the mystery of science to get women for you and him.
No comment. No, women like smart guys.
Yeah.
Or that's what I've heard.
Those test results are still pending. All right, Dave Ennett, we'll let you get back to whatever you're doing, and I'm sure you're not wearing pants.
Oh, Dave,
hey, Bill, good.
Oh, wow. Hey, man. Go Garnet Gold.
Yeah, go Garnet Gold.
You've been back to Alice Steel. It looks just beautiful now. Alice Steel is just good.
I know.
It's
a lot nicer. A lot nicer than when we were there.
Yeah, we're doing a new feature called Washington, D.C. Corner, where you two call each other at home. Hold on.
See you guys.
Hold on. Bill Nye's with us, and your old friend Dave Ennett there. Brand new book called Unstoppable, Harnessing Science to Change the World. And this is a book that I have seen recommended by everybody, and I think we can all agree that, Bill, we don't understand global warming. We don't know what we're talking about. We don't know how serious a problem it is. We hear differing arguments. Who are we supposed to believe?
98% of the world scientists, not some people trying to hoodwink you to keep their fossil fuel business going without really thinking about their kids and grandkids.
So what do we do?
Most of the people in the world are concerned about climate change. If you go to exotic places like Britain or Norway or India, everybody's talking about climate change all the time. The United States is unique in this, in living in denial. So the fossil fuel industry has worked very hard to introduce the idea that scientific uncertainty, plus or minus 2% or what have you, is the same as plus or minus 100%, about, is the same as doubt about the whole thing. That's wrong. That's just wrong. So we want the U.S. to be the world leader in this stuff, not the world hand wringer.
Well, what do we do about how to how countries pay for whatever their part of it is, and what part do we play in it?
We lead the world with wind technology, solar panel technology, and if you want, a little bit of nuclear. But we lead the world with wind and solar by having solar panels that are much more efficient, more easily manufactured, last longer, cheaper. And we design the best wind turbines, and we put them up here on our home soil and our home continental shelf just offshore on the East Coast. And we run the whole place on electricity. All our vehicles, all our ground transportation is electric. And eventually we get airplanes to be running off renewable fuel or even hydrogen. And we do all this not just to make it so that we are energy independent and we don't have to rely on oil fields controlled by terrorist organizations, but also so that we can slow the change of the world's climate and preserve the quality of life for as many people as possible.
How much? Yes. No, I interrupted you with this. How much of this needs to be an acceptance of behavior changes by everybody versus a willingness of the big car manufacturers to make enough electric cars for us to drive?
Well, the car manufacturers would make electric cars if there was a motivation. If there were, for example, a fee on the production of carbon dioxide, if we had 10 cents a gallon on carbon dioxide, then people would be motivated to make much more efficient cars. And if we said you can't make carbon dioxide at all, then everybody would make electric cars. You know, I drove the EV1, the one in the movie, Who Killed the Electric Car? I drove that for 2 years. I mean, I went home. I took naps. I mean,
Right. You didn't drive around for two straight years. I get you.
Yeah, okay. Then I drove the Mini Cooper electric experimental car, which is now the BMW i3. I drove the Chevy. I was a test driver on the Chevy Volt. I drove the Nissan Leaf for 3 years. They're just better. Once you have an electric car, you will not go back. You will not want to go back. They're just more fun. They're quieter. They cost about a fifth as much to operate. But the infrastructure for gasoline-powered cars is 150 years old. It's got inertia. Changing it is going to take a few minutes.
Right. There's an immediate change, an intermediate change, and a long-term change.
I just think about my grandfather, who was in World War I, my grandfather. And he went into battle on a horse. They would ride the horses up to the trenches, jump off the horses, and get in the trenches. I know, it sounds like fun, and then shoot at each other.
Right, sure.
Like great fun.
Yeah.
Well, 20 years later, when both of my parents got involved in World War II, my dad had the misfortune of becoming a prisoner of war for almost 4 years, and my mom was recruited by the Navy, and she worked on the Enigma code, my mom.
Wow.
Those people became part of the greatest generation, right?
Sure.
But everything changed in 20 years. In 20 years, nobody who was serious about fighting a war went into the business on a horse. It wouldn't occur to anybody.
There's right.
There's a mythic tale of some Russian cavalry that got destroyed by Panther tanks. But that aside, nobody who was serious about fighting a war used a horse. And everything changed in just two decades. So we can do this, people.
But we have to. The American public has to get behind it.
Let's produce the next great generation.
Right. And the public has to get behind it. The public has to get behind it. And the public has to believe there's a problem.
So that's why we talk about it. Talking about it is the most important thing right now. If we were talking about climate change, we were talking about terrorism in Paris. If we were talking about climate change, we were talking about things that went on in Ferguson, Missouri, in Baltimore. We'd be on this problem. We'd be solving it. We'd be getting it done.
How much?
And, you know, in 1940, everybody was, Japan would never attack the U.S. That's a tiny country. It would never attack this big one. That would never happen. No, don't worry.
Right.
boy, did things go wrong. Yeah, okay.
Talking with Bill Nye, do you believe that we can make this transition in 20 years without costing thousands of jobs? Could we retrain? Restaff people?
We're going to have more jobs. There's no way to have wind turbines off the East Coast without jobs. We're going to have more jobs than we have now. Now, I was just in West Virginia. They have about 30,000 coal jobs there. If they went to wind, they'd have 50,000 jobs for decades. This is new technology that can only be made here. It's like building a highway. You can't import strips of asphalt from Asia and then lay them down.
Right.
So workers here have to put the wind turbines up. Workers here have to produce the power lines and string them and create the right-of-ways. And there will be laws, attorneys will be involved in where to put the wind turbines and in a fair fashion, and so that we will have all the electricity we need without having to buy oil from the other side of the world and all the problems that's creating for us.
You mentioned hitting them with fees for production and different things. What about incentivizing these companies to make the change? Are we doing that?
Well, that's it. You see, if there were a fee, if there were 10 cents a gallon on production of a ton of carbon dioxide, companies would immediately produce cars that got more gas mileage the way they did in the 1970s when there was a fuel shortage. Cars used to get routinely 40 miles to the gallon, 38 miles to the gallon. That would happen overnight. And then companies would be motivated to produce electric cars. The technology's around. Ford's making an electric car. The Chevy Volt is almost an electric car. And then everybody loves Tesla.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about Tesla.
It's a great car.
Reverence. It's a fantastic car. And after you have an electric car, you'll never go back. Let's get going, you guys. Come on, we can do this. And, you know, we changed car production lines into weapons production lines in World War II in like an afternoon, you know, in a very short amount of time.
But we don't want to be pushed into a position where we have to do it in an afternoon. So you're saying let's get this transition underway and stop.
Let's do it right now. Come on, we can do this.
Well, I got to finish the show first.
New jobs. I know, exactly. New technology, new jobs, and the U.S. would once again be the world leader in this stuff rather than the world hand-wringer following everybody else-er.
Bill Nye.
Jesus, you guys.
Bill Nye obviously didn't take English. Bill Nye, but he's really good at science. Unstoppable.
I'm good at grammar, my friend. I do grammar well. Yeah.
Unstoppable harnessing science to change the world. It's Bill Nye, the science guy. I wonder what he's like when he's drunk.
Ask Ennett. I'm sure they probably tipped a few back.
Like if he was liquored up at a party, you think he talks more or less?
Ennett and Bill Nye at junior high were tipping him back.
You know Ennett.
What kind of junior high were they going to? It's 9:54. Again, the book is called Unstoppable: Harnessing Science to Change the World. It's 9:54. We're back after this on 720 WGN. What are you guys doing today?
Steve, we've got Chris Sebulon with us today.
What are you doing on the show?
Oh, well, Chris, as it turns out...
I was going to say, it's something on his left shoulder we're going to have checked out.
Chris lived in a clown motel for a month in Nevada and lived to tell the story.
What's
ahead.
A clown motel?
It's the creepiest motel you ever saw, and it's all decked out in clownabilia. Everywhere you look, there's something clown-related.
Really?
And apparently it's haunted by clowns.
It's haunted by clowns also.
We do not yet know if it is staffed by them.
See, I like clowns.
You guys being punked?
No.
Is Kevin finally snapped, Kevin, too, your producer, and just booking this? And
Kevin,
it doesn't even exist.
Kevin has a book called The Big Book of Clown Guests, and every day we get a guest from that book.
Do you
every
know
day.
Who has a serious phobia of clowns?
Who's this?
I mean, literally will pee in his pants.
Who?
At the sight of a clown? David Kaplan.
Is that true?
But I don't want to say it on the air.
I thought that was mice and rats.
No. It was Cap. Because one year we got, because we're such good friends, we got him a clown to show up on his birthday with balloons. He literally wet himself.
Really?
Bob Collins had a clown problem.
Really?
Yeah.
We should send Cap to the clown.
Problem meaning an infestation of clowns, or he was just afraid of clowns? What's that mean?
Because, you know, here's the problem. You see one, you know you got 100.
Right. They're in every nook and cranny.
Yeah.
And then how do you
they
get rid of them?
Keep coming out of the car. Yeah, more and more.
Yeah. We're back here tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday.
Well, it's our Friday.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Not mine. It's my Wednesday. And I'm here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Well, good for you. You enjoy that.
I'm excited.
Yeah, you should be.
I like Thanksgiving here.